उवाच जनेषु प्रगृणत्वेषं पृथुं पृथुलविक्रमं तत्रोपजग्मुर्मुनयः चत्वारः सूर्यवर्चसः.
द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेय सेड, व्हाइल द सिटिजन्स वेर थस प्रेइंग टू द मोस्ट पावरफुल किंग पृथु, the four kumaras who were as bright as the sun arrived on the spot.
Second verse. Tamstu Siddheshwaran Raja Vyomno Vatartorchisha Lokan Apapan Kurvanan Sanugo Chashta Lakshitan.
Seeing the glowing effulgence of the four Kumaras, the masters of all mystic power, the king and his associates could recognize them as they descended from the sky.
So far we have seen till 21st chapter, Pitumara's various sacrifices and dispute with Indra and then forgiveness, offering prayers to the Lord. After that, he entered his kingdom and he gave instructions to his citizens, and citizens also glorified him. And the quality of the speech of Prithumaraj was also described. Charu Chitrapadam Slakshnam Mishtam Gudham Aviklavam Sarvesham Upakarartham Tada Anuvadan Iva. Right? So like that, Prithumara's qualities and his qualities of speech, that is described. So while this interaction between the Kumara, between Prithu and the citizens was going on, Kumaras arrived there, four Kumaras. So they came, and because they are Siddheshwaran, they are like masters of mystic power. How are the four Kumaras created? Third canto, 12th chapter. So Brahmaji created from the Vidya Shakti. From the four aspects of Vidya Shakti, four Kumaras manifested. So what are the four aspects of Vidya? Knowledge? Austerity, correct? No, I'm asking four aspects of knowledge. In third canto, 12th chapter, this comes. There are five aspects of niscience, avidya shakti, and there are four aspects of knowledge. Sankhya, yoga, and tapa, and vairagya. Yeah. So there are four aspects of knowledge. So these four kumaras manifested from the four aspects of knowledge. And they are so effulgent. So seeing their effulgence, everybody recognized, oh, not some small boys are coming. It's not that four boys are coming here. They are like Siddheshwaran. When Vamanadeva entered the arena, sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, just one small boy comes. So it doesn't make much difference in the crowd where thousands of people were sitting. For example, here that Jagannath comes, you know, that small boy. So it may make some little difference for a minute, right? Because he's so small and there are only 30, 20 people here. But there are thousands of people sitting here, right? And the small boy comes, how much difference he will make? So all thousands of people were looking at that boy only. That's what happened when Vamanadeva appeared in Vali Maharaj's sacrifice. That's what is happening when these four boys, four Kumaras appeared in Prithumara's kingdom. So there is a special power of four Kumaras described. Whatever place they went to, that immediately becomes sinless. When pure soul enters a place, the effulgence or the aura emanating from that pure soul will just transform the ether. We can see that within our own experience, limited experience only. For example, like say 30 people are there, when someone just enters, one of you only enter, his presence in this association of 20-30 people will have a very unique flavor, right? Somebody may be more jovial, comical, somebody may be a little aggressive, somebody is, what to say, bossing over, somebody is too humble and meek, avaz nikalta hai nahi, like our Anand Leela Prabhu, he hardly speaks anything. Somebody's presence is very strongly felt. If Abhay Gaurang Prabhu is sitting in our japa circle, his presence is quite felt. Where is he? Mumbai. Fine. So his absence is felt now. You can see now the speaker clearly. So like that, when a pure soul enters, overall ether changes, right? So people, everybody has certain influence over others. So we should all understand that what I do doesn't affect me alone. It affects many people, either positively or negatively. So it's one's responsibility to emanate positive vibrations than negative vibrations. It's difficult. It's challenging when we deal with hundreds of people. But it's, as we progress, we need to make a point that my presence in an assembly should only emanate positive ether, not negative ether, right? So that has a wonderful effect. One who has attained perfection in yoga practice immediately becomes master of 8 mystic perfections. So 8 mystic perfections are given. While they were coming to Maharaj Prithu from other planets, they did not come by airplane, but personally. They are not just walking. They didn't catch a bus or local train and then arrived at Prithu Maharaj sacrificial arena. They just entered. They can go anywhere and everywhere. They are Siddhas, right? They are perfect beings. So they came like that. So, tad darshanodgatan pranan pratyaditsur ivothita sasadasyanura yanugo vainya indriyesho gunan iva.
Seeing the 4 Kumaras, Prithu Maharaj was greatly anxious to receive them. Therefore, the king, with all his officers, very hastily got up, as anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature.
So, tad darshana udgatan pranan. So, when Kumaras arrived, there was an eagerness to receive them. So when a guest arrives to someone's home, the host has to show some eagerness to receive the guest. He should not feel bothered. He should not think, "Arey, aa gaya, ek din chala gaya mera, do din chala gaya." So he should not be thinking like that. If one thinks like that, when the guest comes, if the host doesn't welcome him, if the host glances at him with angry eyes as if to burn him, then he will go to a specific hell. It's one of the 28 hellish planets. In 5th canto, 26th chapter, you will know more. So there is a very specific hell which is meant to torment people who do not receive guests properly. And to receive guests properly, one should have that proper consciousness within. It's not just the external dealing that comes, external, what to say, facilities that you give. For example, when we travel in airplanes, the air hostess and whatever, whoever the crew are there, so they treat you so nicely. Welcome, sir. And as if they are welcoming you, just for 1 hour only, right? You have already paid a lot, and once you go, then no relation, right? So once Shyamananda Prabhu was saying, like quite a few years back, so in the airplane, all these air hostesses were there, right? So it's the time for boarding the airplane. So now whoever is the head of all of them, so they were, she was announcing, "Be ready, all the animals are coming." So that's how they kind of invite the passengers. So, what? Smiles, right? Giving all the gifts, taking out all your whatever, water, kachra, everything. They do wonderful service, but there is hardly any feeling associated with it. So the best service is rendered when emotions are invested in it, when feelings are invested in it, when there is an intent from within to serve this person nicely. Here is a person who is coming to my house. I got an opportunity to render service to him. Out of gratitude, one receives a guest. Especially when that guest is an exalted soul like this Sanat Kumara and other four Kumaras. So one has to be very cautious. So devotees, when they come, one has to be eager to receive. So Prithu Maharaj is one of the best examples of receiving guests nicely. And in Bhagavatam, we also see Yudhishthira Maharaj. When Vidura came to his palace, Hastinapur, he received Vidura so nicely. First canto, 13th chapter. And Vidura himself is another wonderful example of guest reception. So he received Krishna so nicely. Although he has a simple home, he was giving banana peel so that Krishna can eat. So Krishna accepted that mood of love than the thing that is offered. So basically, guest reception begins at the heart. Right? One should feel happy to receive. So, therefore, the king with all his officers were very hastily got up, as anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted to the modes of nature. So the example is given how eager you should be to receive guests, receive such exalted devotees. An example is given which we can relate to. So morning our Prabhu was distributing Gajar Halwa or Sandesh, Barfi, Anupam Garam Prabhu was distributing. So all the brahmacharis were very eager to receive. Right? So the way our tongue becomes so eager to taste a sweet or some palatable item, that is how one needs to receive devotees. The way our eyes become so eager to see some sense object, beautiful object, that is how eager one should be to receive devotees. Right? What is that verse? Matra sparshechaya muhu bhavasindhu plavo drashto haricharyana varnanu etadhi atura chittanam matra sparshechaya muhu bhavasindhu plavo drashto haricharyana varnanu. Matra sparshechaya means our senses are constantly desiring to come in contact with sense objects. This eagerness is very much deep rooted in every conditioned soul. The eagerness to bring his senses in contact with the sense objects. So that is how one should be eager to receive devotees. That example is given. And Prabhupada elaborates on that conditioned souls, senses getting attracted by modes. Prakritehi kriyamanani gunaih karmani sarvashah. Every conditioned soul is influenced by a particular mixture of modes. Particular mixture. Three modes are there. You don't find anyone predominantly in mode of goodness or predominantly purely in mode of goodness or ignorance or passion. So any mode, any of the three modes in this material world is always tinged with the other two modes. One may be predominantly in passion, but he also has some goodness and ignorance. So like that. So a very peculiar, unique combination of modes are influencing us at different times. That is also dynamic. So early morning, you may be having, say, 60% of goodness, 20% passion, 20% ignorance, right? 20% ignorance, you just get up like this. And 20% passion, you have to take bath immediately and then put tilak like this, and then run there. And maybe 60% goodness, you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then again ignorance will come, the remaining 20%. And again passion will, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. So all these three modes are playing with us. Very unique combination. That's very dynamic combination. So as such, the conditioned soul is attracted to certain types of activity which he is forced to perform because he is completely under the influence of material nature. However, all the regulative principles of sadhana that we are following in our practice, so that is a medium through which one comes out of the influence of modes. When we perform bhakti in certain modes, right, we may be influenced by certain modes and we perform bhakti in that way. But that performance of bhakti in whatever modes you may be in is the only medium to come out of the influence of modes. Right? So here Prithu Maharaj is compared to such a conditioned soul, not because he was a conditioned soul, but because he was anxious to receive Kumaras. So that he's anxious. So anxiety. Etadhi atura chittana matra sparshyachayamutu muhu. So conditioned soul is always anxious because he wants to enjoy sense gratification. Prithu Maharaj is anxious here because he wants to receive four Kumaras. See, the quality of anxiety should change in this world. So conditioned soul is so susceptible to attraction of objects of enjoyment, he cannot restrain himself. Similarly, Prithu is so susceptible to receive these devotees nicely, he also cannot be, controlled. He's running. It is said that when Vidura entered the palace of Hastinapur, all the residents of the palace, Pandavas, Kunti, Subhadra and all of them, they felt as if their life has come back, their consciousness has come back. So that's how they were eager. So not only Prithu Maharaj, his officers also. Birds of the feather, same feather flock together. So now, yatha raja tatha praja, we say, right? The way the leader is, yadyad acharati sreshta, tatta yavetaro janaha. Prithu Maharaj, because he is so exemplary in receiving devotees, all his followers are following in his footsteps. So when a leader does something, followers also will do the same thing. So the responsibility on a person increases as more people start following him. Right? So Prithu Maharaj is more responsible, exemplary in his dealing with four Kumaras, and others are also following. Fourth verse. Gauravad yantrita sabhyah. Prashrayanata kandharah vidhivat pujayam chakre grihitadhyarhanasanan.
When the great sages accepted their reception according to the instructions of the Shastras and finally took their seats offered by the king, influenced by the glories of the sages, immediately bowed down. Thus he worshipped the four Kumaras.
So Prithu Maharaj bowed down in front of them. And these four Kumaras are Acharyas, Sampradaya Acharyas. There is Kumara Sampradaya. There are four Vaishnava Sampradayas. Kumara Sampradaya is one of them. So as it is stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshadharitvena Samasta Shastrai, a spiritual master or the Parampara Acharya should be respected exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Vidhivat is significant in this verse. This means that Prithu Maharaj also strictly followed the injunctions of the Shastra in receiving a spiritual master or Acharya of the transcendental disciplic succession. So when you say Vidhivat, Vidhivat means as per rules and regulations, right? In alignment with the Shastric injunctions. That's why it is called Vidhivat, or as it behooves, right? As much as a person deserves. Even when all the Dwarakavasis, various types of Dwarakavasis, various categories of Dwarakavasis are coming to receive Krishna when he arrived at Dwaraka. Krishna reciprocated with each of them, yatha vithi, right, just as it behooves. So his reciprocation with different categories of people depends on which category they belong to. So some elderly Brahmanas came to receive Krishna, some of the family members came to receive Krishna. Right, some of these family members are elder to him, some are equals to him, some are younger to him, and some regular citizens came, some vaishyas came, some prostitutes came, some children came. So with all these people, Krishna was reciprocating as per the person's need. Right, when small child comes, you can't just offer prostrated dandavats to him. Okay, you can only pat his back. Oh boy, thank you for the flower. That's all you can say. When some elderly brahmana comes, you have to offer namaskar. So like that Krishna was reciprocating. So vidhivat, when a sampradaya acharya comes, so there is a vidhi to receive him nicely. So that's how Prithu Maharaj was following. Tatpada shaucha salilair marjita alaka bandhana tatra shilavatam vrittam acharan manayan iva.
After this, the king took the water which had washed the lotus feet of the Kumaras and sprinkled it over his hair. By such respectful actions, the king, as an exemplary personality, showed how to receive a spiritually advanced personality.
How to receive a very spiritually advanced personality? Wash his feet. Sprinkle that water on your head. That is the respect a spiritually advanced personality deserves. So one cannot go by his external appearance. So one Vaishnava jati buddhi, one should not see Vaishnavas based on bodily differences. He is coming from so and so country, his age is so much, his color is like this, his complexion is like this. So one should not be seeing all that. So apparently four Kumaras were like small boys, 5-year-old boys. So Prithu Maharaj was not misguided or misled by seeing the appearance of these boys. Why should I wash their feet? Not like that. He recognized their exalted position. When he was preaching as a devotee, although he was detected by several great personalities to be the incarnation of Krishna, he never agreed to be addressed as an incarnation. Because Mahaprabhu, Apani Achari Prabhu Jivera Sikhai, Mahaprabhu is personally following things and then teaching people. So it is said that just speaking on values without following those values has no value. So yeah, it's definitely it's a necessity, it's a responsibility for someone in the line of parampara to speak pure teachings. Right, he's asked to give a class, he can't speak some time pass. I'm not at that level, I'll speak some time pass things. This is at my level. No, he has to speak the pure teachings. At the same time, there should be an endeavor from his side also to imbibe those teachings in his life. That is inspiring to people. So, both are there, prachara and achara. Apani achari prabhu jivera sikhai. Mahaprabhu is personally following things and then teaching people. If one does not follow things and then teaches people, then that creates some difference. People, that creates some confusion in people. So that kind of feeling might creep in. So one should also endeavor to implement certain things. Next. He never agreed to be addressed as an incarnation. Even though one may be an incarnation of Krishna or especially empowered by him, he should not advertise himself as an incarnation. So Mahaprabhu is exemplifying this. Hatakasana asinan swadhishne shiva pavakan shraddha samyama samyuktah prita praha bhavagrahan.
The four great sages were elder to Lord Shiva, and when they were seated on the golden throne, they appeared just like fire blazing on an altar. Maharaj Prithu, out of his great gentleness and respect for them, began to speak with great restraint as follows.
With great respect and restraint. Shraddha samyama samyuktaha. Shraddha, he has a lot of faith and respect. Samyama, he can control himself. Restraint is also there. Means he is eager, that doesn't mean he becomes so expressive. Right? He can control his overwhelming emotions and then present himself in a modest way. Right? So all that was there. He began to speak as follows. The Kumaras are described herein as elder brothers of Lord Shiva. Why? You know. They were born before Shiva in the third canto, 12th chapter. So Prabhupada explains that. They wanted to remain brahmacharis throughout the life and be engaged fully in devotional service of the Lord. They are Naishtika Brahmacharis. They were never meant to marry. So that's what four Kumaras are. Now Prithu is speaking. Prithur uvacha. Aho acharitam kimme. Mangalam mangalayana. Yasyavo darshanam hyasid. Durdarshanam cha yogibhi.
King Prithu spoke, "My dear great sages, auspiciousness personified, it is very difficult for even the mystic yogis to see you. Indeed, you are very rarely seen. I do not know what kind of pious activity I perform for you to grace me by appearing before me without difficulty.
So Prithu Maharaj is not taking this opportunity to see the four Kumaras or receive the four Kumaras or wash their feet for granted. Right? Four Kumaras came to my house. Pata hai kya? Four Kumaras came to my house. He's not going to his neighboring kings and then advertising like that. I'm so great. He can also come to my house. He was feeling so unqualified to receive them. It's my fortune to receive you. Even Parikshit Maharaj also. He said, when Sukadeva Goswami came, great sages like you, great exalted devotees like you, Brahmanas like you, see the kings as Uchishta, or see the kings as refuse. Right? They don't generally go to the houses of kings like that. But because I have some meager connection with the Pandavas who are pure devotees of Krishna, Krishna has been so favorable towards me and had sent you for my benefit. So Parikshit Maharaj did not take the association of Sukadeva Goswami for granted. So in the initial days, we may feel so grateful for the association of other devotees, for whatever little blessings or pat on back that we get from senior devotees, right? Then after some time, it will become usual, right? Initially, some senior devotee comes and says, oh, hi, you did a good job. Right? Some blessings may come, some pleasure may come, some smile they may give. So one may become so eager, so inspired, so enthusiastic to receive such a reciprocation. After some time, it will become part of routine, right? We may not give so much importance to the pleasure of Vaishnavas. When the service comes also, we may not take it very, enthusiastically. Till that time, some time back, we were so eager. Right? I'm aspiring for your service. After some time, jyada ho gaya. If he sees them, he'll go from this side. Arey, pakadega mujhe. So Prithu Maharaj did not take this opportunity to receive four Kumaras for granted. So when something uncommon happens to one's progressive spiritual life, one needs to consider it as Ajnata Sukriti. So to see the Supreme Lord personally or to see his pure devotee personally is not an ordinary incident. Darshan of the Lord is not ordinary. Darshan of a pure devotee is not ordinary. One must have performed unlimited wonderful activities to receive such opportunity. Right? So in this verse, first canto, 11th chapter, or 11th chapter, when Krishna is entering Dwaraka, they say, Traivishtapanam api duradarshanam. Even great demigods also cannot see you so easily. Now we got your darshan. In Dwaraka, all the Dwarakavasis were staying with Krishna every day. They were in the same place. But still, they don't take his darshan for granted. Nityam nirikshamananam yadyapi dwarakavukasam. Navitrupyanti hidrishaha shriyodhamanga machyutam. Although nityam nirikshamananam, every day they are seeing Krishna, they don't take Krishna's darshan for granted. It appears always new to them. Similarly, in this verse also, yasyevo darshanam hyasi durdarshanam cha yogibihi. Even great mystic yogis also, for them it becomes very rare to have darshan of pure devotees like you. Darshan of Lord like you. So, what kind of pious activities did I perform to have your darshan? Which is very rare even for mystic yogis. That's what Prithu Maharaj is saying. Prithu Maharaj could immediately appreciate the rarity of the darshan of Kumaras. He did not take it for granted. He did not become proud that so-and-so celebrity has come to my house. You know, I am in regular touch with a celebrity. So, that increases pride. Our close connection with a exalted personality will make us falsely puffed up sometimes. Just like the Dobiwala of Mathura, washerman of Mathura, he became washerman of Kamsa. When Krishna came and asked some clothes, hey, you are all forest dwellers, mountain wanderers, cowherd boys, how dare you ask the king's clothes? You know, who am I? I am the Dobiwala. I am the washerman, personal washerman of the king of Mathura. Just because he's the washerman of king of Mathura, he is thinking as if he has become the king of Mathura. And he is ridiculing these boys, cowherd boys. So Krishna gave him whatever treatment he needed. Yatha vidhi. Right, vidhivat. Vidhivat, he gave him the treatment. So Krishna has his ways of purifying people. To see personally the Lord or his pure devotee is not an ordinary incident. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata, right? So, seventh canto, seventh chapter verse, last verse somewhere. So, one who is freed from the results of sins and one who is absorbed in pious activities, only such people can engage in devotional service. So, Prithu was wondering how his audience with four kumaras had happened. He couldn't imagine what kind of pious activities he has done. Arre, what kind of pious activities I have done to be able to see them? Arre, did they come to see me or someone else? Like that. So he doesn't feel, he didn't deserve. He felt that he didn't deserve this kind of audience. That shows his natural humility. He's so humble. He's so full of pious activities. Even Vishnu came to see him. And Vishnu personally predicted that he will get darshan of four kumaras also. So, although Prithu Maharaj had this knowledge, but he felt that I am not so qualified to have darshan of such great personalities. So, he is so humble. Eighth verse. Yeah. Vishnu told, you can see somewhere in 20th chapter. So, I, from the bottom of my heart, I can thank all of you for extending yourself for the last 2-3 days. Of so many services, overnight services, that's not a small thing. And just 3 weeks back we had installation program, there also we had services. Somehow after your batch came, so many programs are happening. What can I do? One more is coming. Okay. Oh, Prem Mahotsav. That's little, okay. That's not so. And so many retreats are happening. Without me organizing, WADC happening. WADC happened before that chanting seminar. Bhakti Brahmat Bhagavat Maharaj chanting seminar. So I didn't have to schedule. I didn't call Radhesham Prabhu till now. Only once I called. So, yeah. Your batch came along with some good fortune. With some variety of audience here. So, Krishna is in control. Eighth verse. Kim tasya durlabhataram ihaloke paratracham yasya viprah prasidanti shiva vishnuscha sanugaham.
Any person upon whom the brahmanas and vaishnavas are pleased can achieve anything which is very rare to obtain in this world as well as after that. Not only that, but one also receives the favor of the auspicious Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu who accompany the brahmanas and vaishnavas.
Kim tasya durlabhataram ihaloke paratracha. He is saying that, yes, I have received the audience of four kumaras. I am very fortunate to receive their audience. And in that verse, he was expressing his disqualification or a feeling of not deserving such a privilege. But now, he reconciles that. In the next verse, he would immediately say, what is so difficult for someone who has received the mercy of the Lord? That means, my fortune of seeing the four kumaras is actually the mercy coming from the Lord. It's the Lord who gave me this opportunity. So, one may feel unqualified to take some privilege, but that doesn't mean he would reject that privileged opportunity to render some specific service. One may have that feeling of not being qualified to do that service, not being qualified to accept that privilege. Still, he would accept that privilege as a special mercy from the Lord. You understand? When, who is that? Akrura. Akrura was sent to Mathura. Akrura was sent to Vrindavan from Mathura by Kamsa. Akrura, Kamsa calls him and says, take this new chariot and get Krishna and Balram. I want to kill them. That's what Kamsa says. So, Kamsa's mentality was that, if I give him a new chariot, he will be very eager to drive the chariot and then take him. Bring Krishna and Balram. right? He will be eager for a ride. Whenever something new comes, people get excited, right? So, but Akrura felt, yeah, this new chariot is very good, I'll take this. What was his mentality? The Maha chariot of Kamsa is not fit to bring Krishna and Balram from Vrindavan. Because if Kamsa had given his old chariot, so how can Krishna and Balram board that chariot? So they deserve a new chariot. That was Akrura's mood. I will bring Krishna and Balram in a new chariot. Anyways, so Krishna, Akrura was going to Vrindavan. On his way to Vrindavan, wonderful meditation. You can see in 10th canto, 37th chapter or 36th chapter. On the way he says, what kind of pious activities I must have done to be able to see Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan today? I am so grateful to Kamsa. Although he had his wicked plans, somehow he had sent me to bring Krishna and Balaram out of everyone. It's my great fortune. Today I am going to see Krishna and Balaram. So what kind of activities I must have done, pious activities I must have done to receive this opportunity. And later he says, although I am so unqualified, still I should keep aside all these feelings of not being qualified, etc. I should immediately grab this opportunity. Because what is difficult for a person to achieve if Krishna is pleased with him, if Krishna bestows mercy? He gives an example. If someone is drowning in an ocean, somehow by good fortune, he would come on the shore. That is his great fortune. Similarly, although I am so unqualified, I am serving as a minister in such a demoniac personality's kingdom, still I received this great fortune. Right? It must be definitely Krishna's mercy only. So although devotee has that humility in his heart, he feels not so qualified to render some intimate service or privileged service to the Lord, still he will perform that service, acknowledging that as a mercy given by Krishna. Krishna has been merciful to me. If I don't accept this privileged service, I am rejecting Krishna's mercy. I will not reject. So he will grab it. Right? If he is so humble, if he thinks he is unqualified, why is he doing that service? One more question like that. He is doing, considering it as Krishna's mercy. For example, somebody may be given a privileged opportunity. You can dress Radha Vrindavan Bihari on Janmashtami day. I go, Janmashtami day, me? But still, the devotee would dress. That's a very privileged service. Entire, you know, thousands of people will come and watch that Krishna deity whom you have dressed. But if the devotee has the consciousness that people are seeing me, not Krishna, that's a different thing. So he should be very careful and prayerful that, I am given this privilege, so I will do this service nicely. It's Krishna's mercy only. He considers it as Krishna's mercy. On the other hand, if someone feels that, why I am not scheduled for Janmashtami, right? So that shows some other feeling, right? So if someone is given a privileged opportunity, he should consider it as Krishna's mercy and not unnecessarily get puffed up. If someone is not given a privileged opportunity, he should naturally accept it, right? I am not qualified for it, right? Without Krishna's sanction, nothing will move ahead. So these are certain finer nuances in our Vaishnava dealings and our day-to-day things. We can learn from these great personalities. Although Kumaras were coming personally to Prithumara's house, Prithumaras never took them for granted. Never thought that, they are coming to my house, I am very great. He did not lift his collar. He was so humble. I am not qualified. But still, Krishna is merciful to me. Like that. Akrura, same example. Same series of verses. By repeatedly going through this, you will see consistency in the moods of so many exalted devotees. Right? Eighth verse also says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Palocharena. So if Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are pleased, everyone can achieve anything. That is the result of pleasing Vipras. Now if you see, in the fifth canto, one story comes, Nabhi's story. So Nabhi pleased the Brahmanas so nicely, he served the Brahmanas, that the Brahmanas have performed a sacrifice and showed Nabhi the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a devotee is pleased, he will bring this personality so close to Krishna. Right? Our mood and our attempt should be to please one spiritual master. please the Vaishnavas and just grab their blessings and their gratitude. So that gratitude and that blessings of the Vaishnavas will enable us to be the recipients of Krishna's mercy. If one directly tries to grab Krishna's mercy, it may not work, may or may not work. But if one approaches through the medium of Vaishnavas, that will work better. So that's what this beautiful verse is, 8th verse. Kim tasya durlabhataram iha loke paratracha yasya vipraha prasidanti. Vipraha prasidanti means when devotees are pleased, when brahmanas are pleased, then shivo vishnusya cha sanugaha, and everybody else is pleased, right? So premanjana churita, devotees, because of extreme love for Supreme Personality of Godhead, they always carry the Lord within their hearts. And when such a devotee is pleased, they will give the Lord from within their hearts to this devotee. That doesn't mean Lord will come out of their hearts. Lord will be there also. Lord will be coming to his heart also. He will make a copy, copy paste, Xerox copy will come from his heart to your heart. But the original copy will remain. Original will remain, original also can go. Candle. What is it? Deepachireva hidashantaram abhyupetya. So one candle, you lit another candle. So devotee has his candle, he lit other candles also. Yes, but hardly anyone has a realization of it. The other day His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving this example. You have, you know, some, you know, 2 lakhs of rupees or 20 lakhs of rupees in 2000 rupee notes. But if you have forgotten where you kept it, you are as good as a poor man. So Lord is there in everybody's heart. Lord is there in a hog's heart also, cat's heart also, pig's heart also, in a karmi's heart also, yogi's heart also, and devotee's heart also. But a devotee realizes that Lord is there. So when devotee realizes that Lord is there, Lord does not act as a super soul. He acts as a personal guide and Bhagavan. So Lord is present in everybody's heart in the capacity of a super soul. Right? What is his capacity? What is he doing? He is just witnessing the activities, sanctioning your desires. For example, you climbed on the top of this building and trying to jump there. What will super soul do? He will give commentary, right? He will note down, oh, this fellow committed suicide, okay? And he jumped from there. So his head is, you know, like top to bottom, he is like this. And then he went at a speed of so and so. Right? He will just note down, he will give full commentary. And he will communicate it to Yamaraj. Okay, this fellow has done all these things. I instruct you to give him these punishments. That's what super soul does. But what will Bhagavan do? When you're jumping, he will give your hand and then pull you up. Right? So Lord is there in heart of devotee also and regular people also. But in the, you know, regular people who are not devotees, Lord will act in the capacity of super soul. It's up to us whether we want the Lord to act as a super soul only or Bhagavan. It's up to us. Depending on our approach to the Lord, Lord will reciprocate. Approach decides reciprocation. Right? Yathamam prapadyante. Prabhupada writes in several purports, Lord is there in everybody's heart. Hardly anyone realizes it. Only devotee realizes. Right? Here also he is writing, Lord is already in everyone's heart, but Brahmanas and Vaishnavas actually perceive and see him. See, in this same purport, you can read the line. Conclusion, if Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are pleased, Vishnu is pleased. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. 10th verse. 9th verse. Naiva lakshyate loko lakshayate loko lokan paryatato pihan yatha sarva drisham sarva Atmanam yesya hetavah.
Prithu Maharaj continued, although you are traveling in all planetary systems, people cannot know you, just as they cannot know the super soul, although he is within everyone's heart as the witness of everything. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot understand the super soul.
Answer mil gaya? Elaborate answer. So in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Muhyanti yat surayaha. Even great personalities get bewildered. Muhyanti. So great demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra are sometimes bewildered trying to understand the Lord. It so happened that when Krishna was present on this planet, Brahma and Indra mistook him. Brahma Vimohan Leela we have, Govardhan Leela also we have. So when Sanatana Goswami went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could not be recognized by Chandrasekharacharya. The conclusion is that Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart, and his pure devotees, the Vaishnavas, are also travelling all over the world, but those who are under the modes of material nature cannot understand the form of the Lord, the source of this cosmic manifestation, or the Vaishnavas. It is therefore said that one cannot see the Lord or the Vaishnava with these material eyes. One has to purify his senses and engage in the service of the Lord. Then gradually one will realize who is the Lord and who is a Vaishnava. So here Lord and realizing the glory of the Lord and realizing the glory of a Vaishnava, both are kept on the more or less same level. Just like you cannot understand the Lord so easily, similarly you cannot understand a Vaishnava also so easily. Both need some fortune and some credits. Next. 10th verse. Adhanapi te dhanyah sadhavo grahamedhinah yadgriha yartha varyambu trunabhumi ishwaravarah.
A person who is not very rich and is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, a sitting place and a paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the home itself is also glorified.
So Prithu Maharaj is playing the role of a householder. So in the next two verses he gives an understanding of who is a fortunate householder, who is an unfortunate householder. A fortunate householder is one who receives saintly people like four Kumaras nicely at home. They may not have so many facilities, they may not be so rich, they may not give such opulent foodstuffs or reception paraphernalia when a saintly person comes, but they have the big heart to very properly and respectfully and lovingly receive saintly persons. So such a person is a fortunate householder who has willingness to receive a guest lovingly. An unfortunate householder, that is mentioned in the 11th verse, we'll read that also. Vyalalaya druma vaiteshu atikta arikta khila sampadaha yadgriha tirtha padiya padatirtha vivarjita.
On the contrary, even though full of all opulence and material prosperity, any householder's house where the devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in and where there is no water for washing their feet is to be considered a tree in which all venomous serpents live.
See, unfortunate householders means they cannot lovingly receive any guests, especially saintly people. They are like trees where serpents live. And they are like caves where foxes live. This analogy comes somewhere in the 6th canto. Kashyapa Aditi somewhere. 8th canto, I think. So, in that context also. When a householder fails to receive a guest properly at his house, then he is as good as a fox living in a cave or a snake living under a tree. Right? His house is no better than that kind of impious tree or a impious cave. So that is the fortune of a householder in relation to guest reception is decided like this. Now, in the 10th purport, Prabhupada says that one may not be materially so advanced. Right? Rich people are there, they are materially advanced. But poor people are not materially so glorious. But one who is attached to family life, such a person is spiritually not glorious. If one is not rich, he is materially not glorious. If he is attached to family life, he is spiritually not glorious. Right? Even such people also can become glorified when saintly people come to their home. And if they receive such saintly people nicely. So the conclusion is that if a saint goes to a house, even an unimportant person becomes an important person by his blessings. So what is the importance of any person? The importance of a person has to be estimated in proportion to the blessings that he has received from saintly persons. He is the recipient of Krishna's mercy. He is the recipient of pure devotee's mercy. Then he is an important person. Otherwise, he is not so important person. There could be, you know, people, so many people who are very popular and celebrities or whatever, but they cannot become as important as pure devotees who have been the recipients of Krishna's mercy. Right? So, receiving guests would include, even if one is a poor person, even if the host is a very poor person, he can at least give some water or a sitting place, just some straw mat he can give. Or if not, if he doesn't have mat also, he can just clean the ground and then ask them to sit. Right? People have this, they have, when somebody comes, they have this gamcha on their shoulder, they will do like this, and please sit. At least that much gesture they can show. Right? So I am eager to receive you. This is what I can offer. At least a seat they can offer if they don't even have water. Even, you see, Bhishma, he does not have anything to give. He is just lying on a bed of arrows, no blood inside. So he cannot move even an inch. He cannot even offer, you know, dandavat also. He cannot even fold his hands also. But he welcomed everyone with his sweet words. Right? Yes, Prabhu? Vancha. He can do that also. So, if not, one should at least fold his hands and say welcome. So, Prabhupada gives all these principles here. So, 11th purport. Prabhupada, you see, 11th purport. Vyalalaya Druma Vaiteshu. Vyala means venomous serpents. Alaya means home. Vyalalaya means home of venomous serpents. Right? So, Drumaha, that is tree. Vaiteshu Arikta Akhila Sampadaha Yad Grihaha. Although his Griha is an abode of all opulences, it is good for nothing. It is just an abode of venomous serpents, right? Poisonous snakes, if he doesn't receive guests properly. Right? Yad Grihas Tirtha Padiya Pada Tirtha Vyavarjitaha. Right? Tirtha Padiya. So, Tirtha Padiya means devotees. So, envious man is more dangerous than a snake. So Prabhupada says, he quotes Chanakya and says that a poisonous snake can be subdued by chanting some mantras. But an envious person cannot be subdued. He is more dangerous than a snake also. So now 12th verse. Svagatam vo dvijasreshta. Yadvratani mumukshavaha charanti shaddhaya dhira bala eva brihanticha.
Maharaj Prithu offered his welcome to the four Kumaras, addressing them as the best of the Brahmanas. He welcomed them, saying, from the beginning of your birth, you strictly observed the vows of celibacy, and although you are experienced in the path of liberation, you are keeping yourselves just like small children.
Swagatam vo dvijasreshta. He says, welcome. I welcome, O dvijasreshta. Yad vratani mumukshavaha charanti shraddhaya dhira bala eva brihanticha. Just like small boys, you are just wandering. But you are dvijasreshta, best of all brahmanas. You strictly observe brahmachari vows, and although you are experienced on the path of liberation, you are keeping yourself like small kids, small children. So the 12th purport, Prabhupada elaborates on the word dvijasreshta. They are dvijasreshta because they are Vaishnavas, the best of brahmanas, on account of their being Vaishnavas also. As we have already explained, they have their sampradaya, And even to the date, the Sampradaya is being maintained and is known as the Nimbarka Sampradaya. 13th verse. Kachinna, kachinna kushalam natha. Indriyartha artha vedinam. Vyasanavapa etasmin. Patitanam swakarmabhi.
Prithu Maharaj inquired from the sages about persons entangled in this dangerous material existence because of their previous actions. Could such persons, whose only aim is sense gratification, be blessed with any good fortune?
So, kachinna kushalam natha indriyarthartha vedinam. This is a very important verse. Where Prithu Maharaj is inquiring for the welfare of people. Can there be any good fortune for people like us? Right? Kachinna kushalam natha. Can there be any good fortune? Kushalam means auspiciousness. Can there be any auspiciousness for us? Indriyarthartha vedinam. What kind of people are we? Our only aim is indriya. Indriyartha, sense gratification. And we have fallen into samsara, vyasanavapa etasmin patitanam swakarmabhi. By our own activities, we have fallen into this samsara and our only aim is sense gratification. Can there be any auspiciousness for us? Please, what is the cause of auspiciousness for people like us, absorbed in household life? That is his first question. He directly began with questions. So Prithu Maharaj didn't ask for Kumara's good fortune. He didn't ask, oh, how are you? When somebody comes, how are you? Are you good? So that's like a formality. It's a conventional way of receiving a guest. And out of affection and love and concern also one will ask, how was your travel and all. But Prithu Maharaj is convinced that there can be no inauspiciousness in the life of four Kumaras. They are so dedicated devotees. How can there be any misfortune for them? So instead of asking about their welfare, I should ask about my welfare. Right? That is his mood. So apparently the words may give certain message externally. But internally, what is the mood we need to see? In some other context, we may say that when someone comes, you should ask about his welfare and all. But there the mood is different. The rasa is different. For example, when Vidura entered Hastinapur Palace, this Suta Goswami says this verse. Tam bhuktavantam vishrantam asinam sukhamasane. Means tam bhuktavantam. First, Vidura was fed sumptuously. Vishrantam, he was allowed to take rest. Asinam sukhamasane. Then, after he got up from his rest, he was given a nice seat. Then, he started speaking. But here, when four Kumaras came, Prithu Maharaj did not follow any of that. As soon as they came, he started with question. Right? He washed their hands, their feet, and then he asked a question. How are you? How was your travel? What all places you visited? So those things were not there. So the mood is important. What mood he is speaking, what mood they are speaking. They are giving one lesson, Pandavas. Here, Prithu is giving another lesson. So Prithu Maharaj did not ask about four Kumaras' good fortune because they are always auspicious. So Prithu Maharaj asked on his own behalf, grihastha, and in charge of royal authority. He's a king, right? As a king, he has to sometimes even gamble also. He has to kill animals and other enemies also. So first, I am in a precarious condition. First, I should ask about my welfare. But who am I to ask about their welfare? Only one who stops all activities of sense gratification is elevated. Everyone is responsible for his fallen condition because of his own activities. This is a very important point. Vyasana vapa etasmin patitanam svakarmabhihi. Patitanam means we are fallen. Because of what? Svakarmabhihi. Because of our own activities we are fallen. One should not think that I am fallen, I am low because of someone else. Someone else is the cause of my degraded condition. One cannot blame others. Svakarma bhihi. Because of my own activities, I am in this current situation. My current situation may apparently seem to be a result of someone else's misdeed. Right? One may perceive like that. One may try to shift the blame. But that is not the appropriate response expected from a practitioner of Krishna consciousness. He sees himself responsible for his condition. When something very auspicious and very great happens, he would acknowledge the Supreme Lord, Krishna or Vaishnavas, that because of their mercy, this auspiciousness happened to me. But if something inauspicious happens to me, then I should think that this is because of my own past deeds. This is the ideal mood of a Vaishnava. If you see, in the first canto, 16th chapter, when Parikshit Maharaj inquired Dharma, bull, who is the perpetrator? Who is the cause of your suffering? What did Dharma say? Anyone remembers? Different philosophers say different things. Some say he is the reason, some say he is the reason, some say he is the reason. I am unable to figure out who is the reason. Right? So, Dharma, bull, he did not shift the blame. He did not hold anyone responsible for his condition. Then seeing the response of this bull, Parikshit Maharaj could immediately detect that you must be Dharma. Right? He did not unnecessarily point out anyone for your condition. Right? So one has to remember this verse. Tattena kampam susamikshamanam bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. Whatever is happening to me is a result of my past deed. It did not happen to me because of someone else's mistake. Are ye hai, isili aisa ho gaya. Not like that. He may be a medium, right, through which my karma is coming to me or my punishment is coming to me. He's an instrument. Next, that is, everyone is responsible for his fallen condition because of his own activities. Swakarma bhihi. So, auspicious life begins when one's activities are changed to devotional service. 14th verse. Bhavat sukushala prashna. Atma rameshu neshyate. Kushala kushala yatra. Nasanti mati vrittayah.
Pitu Maharaj continued, my dear sirs, there is no need to ask about your good and bad fortune because you are always absorbed in spiritual bliss. The mental concoction of the auspicious and inauspicious does not exist in you.
So as I told you earlier only, Bhavatsu Kushala Prashna, I am asking directly about my welfare, but I will not ask about your welfare. Because I know you are inquiring about your welfare doesn't make much sense. Because you are all Atmaramas. And you don't have any mental concoctions. Mati Vrittayaha. About what is auspicious and what is inauspicious. Because you are all equiposed. There is no need to ask about your welfare. Now, that is the 14th verse. In the purport, Prabhupada says, in the material world, auspiciousness and inauspiciousness are simply mental concoctions because such things exist only due to association with the material world, which creates material desires. One who is always engaged in devotional service, the duality of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness does not arise. So for him, everything is fine. What is that verse? Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapur akasha pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpapatali proktaha damshtrayate vishvam purna sukhayate vidhimahendra adishcha kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavatam tam gauram evastumaha. So for a devotee, all this entire universe is a cause of happiness. Vishvam purna sukhayate. He doesn't consider hell or heaven or anything. Anywhere he goes, he can see only bliss. Because he received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Swargapa, what is that? Narayana para sarve nakutasyana vibhyati swargapa varga narakeshu api tulyartha darshanaha. So for a devotee whose only focus is service to Krishna, whether it is swarga or naraka, whether it is Galtare or Mumbai, it doesn't make much difference. He is focused on service. So he can go anywhere to render that service. So that is the essence. That is why there is no question of welfare only for them. 15th verse.
Tadaham krita vishrambham suhrdovas tapasvinam sampriche bhava etasmin kshemah kenanjasa bhavet.
I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life.
Again, whatever he asked in 13, he is paraphrasing and asking again. What is the means for ultimate benefit for people? 13th verse he said, can there be any auspiciousness for people like us who are absorbed in household activities? So now 15th verse is just extending and saying that, what is the means for ultimate benefit? Tadaham krita vishrambha. Krita vishrambha means being completely assured. Suhrudaha vah. Suhrudo vas tapasvinam. Sampritche bhava etasmin kshemaha kenanjasa bhavet. Kshemaha kenanjasa bhavet. How can we attain auspiciousness very easily? Please tell us that process. Right? That is his question. This is an important verse. Prabhupada says, saintly persons go door to door just to give real information about auspiciousness. They don't go for their personal benefit. It's not that Kumaras came to Prithu Maharaj just to have some material donation. Not for that purpose. Just to teach. So Prithu Maharaj is teaching a common man that one should ask a saintly person about relief from material pangs of existence. So when someone meets a saintly person, a regular, ordinary, common person, he would expect blessings. Sadhu Maharaj, Ashirvad Diji. So that's what he says when he meets a saintly person. But what one should actually expect is relief from material pains. And that relief from material pains does not mean another material solution, seeking spiritual guidance. So I want relief from material pains. I have so and so material pain. If I get a lottery of 10 lakhs, my material pain will be mitigated. So that is not the solution that a sadhu gives. He gives the spiritual strength with which we can handle that material pain and be in right consciousness. So to get rid of a materialistic person, someone always suffering from material pangs, to get rid of it, associate with saintly persons and chant Hare Krishna. That is the only auspicious way. Okay. So Prabhupada quotes this. Samsara Vishanave Vishanale Davanishi Hiyajwale Judaitena Kainupa Upaya. We are always suffering from material pangs and our hearts are burning, but we cannot find any way out of it. So the materialistic person can also be called tapasvi. Why he is called tapasvi? Because he is not doing austerity. But without doing austerity means what? Voluntarily accepting some inconvenience for a higher purpose. But materialistic person is a tapasvi. He is involuntarily accepting so much of inconvenience for no purpose. But accepting austerity, accepting inconvenience is there in both parties. That's why both can be called tapasvi. So Prabhupada calls materialistic person also as a tapasvi. So Golokera Primadhana Harinama Sankirtana. Prabhupada quotes Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then 16th verse. Vyaktam Atma Vatam Atma Bhagavan Atma Bhavana Svanam Anugraha Yemam Siddharupi Charatyajaha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always anxious to elevate the living entities who are his parts and parcels, and for their special benefit, the Lord travels all over the world in the form of self-realized persons like you.
So four Kumaras were both jnanis and yogis, and later they became bhaktas. So they were impersonalists, but they became transcendentalists, best of transcendentalists later. So devotees are representatives of the Supreme Lord. To elevate the conditioned soul to original consciousness, they travel all over the world.
Vyaktam atmavatam atma bhagavan atma bhavanah
means the Lord who reveals himself to the world and who is always anxious to elevate the living entities. What he does?
Svanam anugrahayemam siddharupi charatyajah.
That Supreme Lord only travels around the world in the form of self-realized souls. We should understand that when a devotee is walking in this world, it's actually Krishna who is walking in the form of a devotee. Siddharupi charatyajah. Right? So Siddharupi, to show mercy to other devotees. Now in this verse, 12th canto, one verse is there. One of the last verses.
Tadrupena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya kasmayena vibhasitoyam atulo jnana pradipah pura. Tadrupena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupina yogindraya tadatmanatha bhagavadrataya karunyata. Tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amritam satyam param dhimahi. Kasmai yena vibhasitoyam atulo jnana pradipah pura.
In the beginning of the creation, Krishna is the one who imparted this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam unto Brahma.
Kasmai yena vibhasitoyam atulo jnana pradipah pura. Tad rupena, in the form of Brahma, Krishna only imparted that knowledge unto Narada Muni. Tadrupena cha naradaya munaye.
Then Krishnaya tadrupena. In the form of Narada Muni, Krishna only imparted this knowledge to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Right? Krishnaya tadrupena. Then Yogindraya tadatmanata bhagavat rataya karunyataha. In the form of Vyasadeva, Krishna imparted that knowledge to Sukadeva Goswami. In the form of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna told this knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj. So whether Krishna is speaking or Brahma is speaking or Narada is speaking or Vyasa is speaking or Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, Krishna is only speaking through all these people. So we need to understand that when Bhagavatam is spoken by some personality, as long as that personality is a pure representative of the parampara, we need to understand that Krishna is speaking through him. It is Krishna who is speaking to me through this personality. Same verse, similar verse is coming here. Svanam anugrahayemam siddharupi charatyajah. When a devotee is traveling on the surface of this planet, it is Krishna who is traveling for the benefit of other devotees. Siddharupi, in the form of perfected beings. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead is in everyone's heart, trying to elevate one to Krishna consciousness. Atma bhavanah. Everyone is trying to elevate himself to highest position according to his mentality. For a karmi, the highest position he wants to acquire is to enter heavenly planets. For a jnani, highest position he is aspiring for is to merge in the impersonal Brahman. For a yogi, the highest position he is aspiring is to get lot of siddhis, to show off in front of the people of this world. For a bhakta, his highest aspiration is to constantly hear Krishna katha and to constantly render service to Krishna in the association of devotees. That's what devotees aspire for. According to their own mental conception, people aspire for different things. So Prabhupada gives the example of Mayavadis. Mayavadi sannyasis think that they are Narayana. But devotee is like Narayana. A devotee is as good as Narayana, not by becoming Narayana, but by becoming one with the interests of Narayana. Narayana's interest and devotee's interest, both are same. Narayana's vision and devotee's vision, both are same. When that consciousness is there, then devotee becomes as good as the Lord. Just by accepting a sannyasi danda, one does not become. Danda grahana matrena naram narayano bhavet. Mayavadis say, I have accepted danda, I have become Narayana. That is not the point. Point is, I have accepted the consciousness which is approved by Krishna, then devotee becomes as good as Krishna. They are one in purpose. Right? Both are on the spiritual platform.
Sakshadharitvena samasta shastre
So a spiritual master is glorified as good as Krishna. He has to be respected as much as Krishna has to be respected, because he is a pure representative of Krishna. This verse also reconfirms that fact. Break now or after one half an hour? Now, 17th verse. Maitreya Uvacha Pritostat Suktamakarnya Saram Sushtu Mitam Madhu Smayamana Iva Prityam Kumaraha Pratyuvachaha.
The great sage Maitreya continued, "Thus Sanat Kumar, the best of the celibates, after hearing the speech of Prithu Maharaj, which was meaningful, appropriate, full of precise words, and very sweet to hear, smiled with full satisfaction and began to speak as follows."
So now Sanat Kumar is giving his reply. So Prithu's speech was once again glorified here. Prithos tat suktam akaranya saram shushtu mitam madhu. Saram means very essential, meaningful. Then shushtu means very appropriate. Mitam means concise. Mitam cha saram cha vachohi vagmita. Eloquence means the essential truth presented in a concise way, not in an elaborate way. When someone, other day he was saying, Charuchandra Prabhu, ask your question in a concise way. Don't give, 10 minutes purport to your question. We are lost what he is asking. So, concise way. All your answer sheets also should be like that. Then you will be finishing in half an hour. So, mitam, concise. Sweet, madhu. So, these are the qualities of his speech. Saram, shushtu, mitam, madhu. SS, MM. M square, S square. So all good qualifications are present in Prithu's speech because he is a great devotee. So yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha. So because devotees are having all the qualities of demigods also, their speech also has all good qualities. Now Sanat Kumar is responding. Sanat Kumar uvacha sadhu prishtam maharaja sarva bhuta hitatmana bhavata vidusha chapi sadhuna matiridrishi.
Sanat Kumar said, "My dear King Prithu, I am very nicely questioned by you. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities, especially because they are raised by you, who are always thinking of the good of others. Although you know everything, you ask such questions because that is the behavior of sentient persons. Such intelligence is befitting your position."
Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja. Oh Maharaja Prithu, Sadhu Prishtam. You have asked very appropriately. Wonderful questions you asked. In Bhagavatam, this is a very recurring theme where the speaker glorifies the questions of the inquirer. You have asked very wonderful questions. Even Sukadeva Goswami began his speech like that. Variya neshate prasnaha kruto lokahitam rupa. Why people's questions are very glorious? Because they don't ask selfish questions. Their questions are relevant for people in general. Answer to those questions are not solving their own personal problems. They serve as answers and solutions for all people in general. So, nicely questioned. Because you are sarva bhuta hitatmanam, you are always thinking of the welfare of everybody, people in general, not about your own welfare. You are thinking of everybody's welfare. So, although you know everything, still you ask. So, that's another point, interesting point. Most of these devotees like Parikshit Maharaj, then Vidura, then here Prithu Maharaj, they seem to be inquiring from an exalted personality. But they themselves are also very knowledgeable persons. Still, they speak. They ask and the other devotees will speak. Because Krishna Katha is quite purifying. It's not redundant. Why to discuss a subject matter which I am already aware of? So, one should not unnecessarily think in these lines. Because Krishna Katha is purifying not only for the speaker, for the inquirer, for all those who are present also. The 10th canto, one beautiful verse comes.
Vasudeva katha prashna purusham strin punatihi vaktaram pruchrakam shrotram tatpada salilam yatha. Vasudeva katha prashna, the discussions and questions about Vasudeva, purusham strin punatihi, they purify three kinds of purushas. Three kinds of men are purified. Who are they? Vaktaram, one who speaks. Prichrakam, one who asks, inquirer. Shrotram, whoever happens to hear this whole conversation. So in that conversation, Parikshit Maharaj is asking, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, and so many other personalities were present. So all these three categories of people will be purified just by this questions and answer session. Right? If the questions are centered around Krishna, topics of Krishna. Tatpada salilam yatha. Just like Ganga can purify all three worlds, Krishna Katha can purify all three categories of people. Okay, 19th verse. Sangamah khalu sadhunam ubhayesham ja sammatah yat sambhashana samprashnah sarvesham mitanotisham.
When there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness.
Mm. So, they say that just like you are desiring our association and asking us questions, but we are desiring your association. We'll answer your questions. If answering your question is a medium which enables us to associate with you, we'll do that also. Then Maitreya also says, my dear Vidura, your questions are giving me an opportunity to glorify Krishna. Actually, by asking these questions, you have done a great favor to me and for people in general also. Kirti Malam, you are with your eagerness to hear Krishna Katha, every time when you inquire, you are just putting one flower in the garland of Krishna's kirtis, kirti mala. So when we make garland, we put flowers one by one, right? You know. Similarly, when the sincere hearer of Krishna Katha asks a question, he's putting one flower like this. He's making a garland of Krishna's glories. So Maitreya is thanking Vidura. Here, Sanat Kumara is thanking Prithu, right? That is the consciousness with which Krishna conscious discussions are held. Right, that's the pure consciousness. Hearing discussions among the devotees is the only means to receive the powerful message of Krishna. For instance, Bhagavad Gita has been well known all over the world for a very long time. But because the subject matter was not discussed by devotees, there was no effect. So discussion has to happen amongst devotees of this consciousness, not just like that. The discussion should have some meaning. The people who are involved in the discussion should be having some love and affection for the subject matter. So recently one conference was held, one of our devotees went there. So there is the purpose for which the conference is held is nothing devotional, right? It could be because of some academic interests or for some to get some grants or something, whatever. So there is no Krishna Katha, glorification of Krishna Katha that is happening there. It's just a formality that is happening there. So then that doesn't benefit, that doesn't create a transformative effect. But this is a simple setting, but this discussion of whatever 2-3 hours will have some spiritual benefit because there are some sincere spiritual seekers participating in this discussion. So that's why Prabhupada condemns all these professional reciters. So here, hearing discussions amongst devotees is the only means to receive powerful message of Krishna. That's what Dhruva Maharaj also prays. What did he say? Yanirvrutas tanubhritam tava pada padma dhyanat bhavat jana katha shravanena vasyat. If a bliss has to be attained, that can be attained only by two means. One, by meditating on your lotus feet. Then bhavat jana katha shravanena vasyat. By hearing your katha from your devotees. From your devotees, I don't want to hear anything other nonsense. And your katha, I don't want to hear from anyone else. I want to hear your katha from your devotees only.
I want to hear from your devotees your katha only. So when that subject matter is pure and the speaker of the subject matter has Krishna as the only object of his life and the hearer of the subject matter has so much of eagerness to hear, that combination is perfect combination. And such a combination will not only create a transformative effect in those three parties of people, hearer, speaker and listener, inquirer involved there, but it will transform people, hearts of people for so many generations to come. Because this conversation happened several thousands of years back. Now it is transforming our hearts in this Kali Yuga. Right? In the 5000 whatever 118 years of Kali Yuga passed. So now we are there in this 7th Manvantara, 28th Yuga cycle. This happened maybe, I don't know, so many Yuga cycles back. Still, that is having a transformative effect on our consciousness. So when the parties involved in a Krishna Katha discussion are very potent and sincere, that can transform hearts of people for so many Yugas to come. Right? So what we do now will not only affect our lives now, it will affect so many people's lives for the in the future also. So one needs to have that sincere intent. If only one has that sincere intent, then the effect of that intent is not restricted. It becomes unlimited. It becomes all-pervading. It becomes long-lasting. Like that. So, only means to receive. Welcome. So, Gita is well-known all over the world, but there is no effect because it is not discussed by devotees. So, meeting between Prithu and four Kumaras and meeting between Brahma and Narada, all of them are very effective meetings. So, question and answers between saints surcharge everything spiritually. See Prabhupada's line. Surcharge everything spiritually. Spiritual surcharging will happen. Whoever takes advantage of such discussions is benefited both in this life and in the next life. Ubhayesham. Hearing benefits both materialist and transcendentalist. Both materially and spiritually. Now you see material benefits you want. You see the phalasruti of so many episodes of Bhagavatam. So that is mentioned. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadhi. Whatever may be your aspiration, that will be fulfilled. Right? So karmis and jnanis are benefited. Devotees are benefited. So life becomes regulated. Chance of becoming devotee is increased. Understanding of one's real constitutional position happens. One is assured of human form of life. At least human form of life mil jayega next life mein. Right? So people are not sure. Most human beings in this world are not sure what will be their next life. But at least that much surety will be there. If we hear Krishna Katha in this life, at least we'll get a human life in the next birth. So, and if one is fortunate enough, he can go back to Godhead also in this one lifetime. Someone was asking something.
Yes. Raji, you said if there is no Krishna Katha involved, the discussion should not be participated kind of thing.
Hmm.
But, I mean, like, we can use them as ways to get cultivate them or get
see,
friendly
ultimate
relations.
Purpose is needed. When we say Bhagavatam glorifies Krishna exclusively, there are so many other episodes in Bhagavatam that are describing jnana process, yoga process, Kapil Dev's teachings, and materialistic life. So many other topics are also there in Bhagavatam. The conclusive result of a section, the conclusion of a section is glorifying bhakti. Bhagavatam, when we say Bhagavatam is exclusively glorifying bhakti, although other processes are described within Bhagavatam, the conclusion is bhakti only. TLK describes so many topics, Sankhya, Yoga, Jnana, etc. But the conclusion is bhakti. Similarly, when we say Krishna Katha and Krishna Seva should be center of all our activities and discussions, that doesn't mean we do only that. We have to do so many managerial discussions. Now, kitchen meeting, some 1,000 people they had to feed yesterday, day before yesterday. Definitely there must be some meeting before that. Can't you call that Krishna Katha? That is also Krishna Katha. Because that Katha, that discussion, is centered around serving Krishna and devotees. How to feed prasadam to 1,000 devotees for tomorrow's festival. There could be a lot of management involved and so many
exchanges are involved, so many leelas happen, some argumentation also may happen, right? Some say halwa, some say not halwa, like whatever, paneer sabji, something like that. So all that is centered around Krishna. Everybody's intent there is to please Krishna, is to serve the Vaishnavas. Whatever discussion happens is actually a service to Krishna. That is part of devotional service.
One more question.
Yes, bro.
Right, when you say human life, that like we'll get in human life in the next birth when we hear Krishna Katha. If you see, world population is increasing day by day, even though not much Krishna Katha is happening.
Haribol! How much population increased, bro? Kali Yuga, hardly any population is there. Go to the previous Yugas. You know what is the population of Dwarka, Krishna's family? Just one family who is living in Dwarka. Krishna has, you know, just the employed teachers are so and so number of millions or some billions, I think. Right? So population is very less now. Human population is very less now. Okay.
I mean...
Hasteva Rajan Bhavato Madhudvisha Padaravindasya Gunanu Vadane Ratir Durapo Vidhunoti Naishtiki Kamam Kashayam Malamanta Ratmana.
Sanat Kumar continued, "My dear King, you already have an inclination to glorify the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such attachment is very difficult to achieve, but when one has attained such unflinching faith to the Lord, it automatically cleanses lusty desires from the core of the heart."
Actually, family planning is more nowadays. Right? Avoiding children is more nowadays. Avoiding marriage has become more prominent nowadays. Where is the question of increasing human population? So compared to the Vedic times, I'm saying. In Vedic times, you see, one family would have 8 children, 12 children. Whatever. That's like a huge number. Right? Relatively, the human population is quite less now. Okay. Both are same. Prabhupada says 100%. Death rate is 100%. Everybody who takes birth has to die. It's 100% everywhere. premature. Yeah, suicide rate. Right? Or at a cancer rate or something like that. Yeah. Okay, coming to 20th verse. Astiyava Rajan Bhavato Madhudvishaha. Oh Raja, oh my dear Prithu Maharaj, you already have an inclination to hear about Krishna Katha. Astyeva Rajan Bhavato Madhudvishaha Padaravindasya Gunanuvadane. So you have an inclination to glorify the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? He also says, Dhruva, Bhaktim Muhu Pravahatam Tvayime Prasango Bhuyad Ananta Mahatam Amalashayanam Yenanja Solbana Muruvyasanam Bhavabdhim Neshe Bhavad Guna Kathamrta Pana Mattaha. I already have an inclination to become intoxicated by, just by hearing your qualities. So Prithu already have that inclination. Dhruva already had that inclination. Ratir Durapa Vidhunoti Naishtiki Kamam Kashayam Malamantaratmanaha. Such fixed Rati Naishtiki. Naishtik is mentioned. Such fixed attachment is very rare. And such fixed attachment to hear Krishna Katha will cleanse the lusty desires from the heart, which are very difficult to remove. Kamam kashayam malam antaratmanah. So it becomes very difficult. Right? Like a mineral dye. Now you see some cloths will come. Some saris or some dhotis or some gamchas. You put in water, dip. Take it out. Color, kidare, konsa, water became colorful. Gamcha became colorless. So that happens. But when you put it with proper dye, you wash it 100 times, nothing will happen to it. So similarly, if one has fixed attachment, which is very rare,
that cleanses the lusty desires from the heart, which are very difficult to remove. Generally, just like a properly dyed cloth cannot become colorless in spite of washing hundreds of times, similarly, our heart is properly dyed with millions of lusty impressions since time immemorial. They are very difficult to be removed. But by hearing Krishna Katha, they can be removed. For example, some acid you put or something like that, I don't know about the chemical processes of cleaning cloths or whatever, bleaching, whatever. So when you put that, the cloth becomes colorless. But similarly, by devotional service, by hearing about Krishna, our thick impressions of lust and other anarthas will be removed. Beautiful example they give. So in the 20th purport, Prabhupada says, Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha. So by the association of devotees, dirty things in the heart are gradually washed away by Lord's grace. As silver shines by polishing, materialistic man's heart is cleansed of lust by association of devotees. So association will act like detergent that will clean a contaminated dirty cloth. It's very powerful detergent. So they show in the advertisements, right? That Rin Supreme or whatever bar, they will take like this on the cloth. That small patch will become so shine. Outside that will become so dirty. That is actually association of devotees. You take it like this, then the white patch will be seen. Good dog will bark more, and the bad dog will become like this. Right? All this will happen by Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Samvidu. So living entity has no connection with materialistic enjoyment or lust. They simply imagine. Okay, 21st verse. Sastreshviyan eva sunishchito runam kshemasya sadryag vimrisheshu hetu asanga atma vyatirikta atmani dridharatir brahmani nirgunechaya.
It has been conclusively decided in the scriptures after due consideration that the ultimate goal for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily concept of life and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature.
So this is very key verse. So how to... Basically they are answering the question. What did Prithu Maharaj ask? What is the means for ultimate benefit for people in general? So answer is attachment to Krishna, detachment from bodily conception. So spiritual progress means our attachment to Supreme Lord should increase. Our detachment from bodily conception also should increase. We should be detached here, we should be attached there. So that is the conclusive statement established in the scriptures. So without inquiry about the Supreme, one cannot give up attachment for the material world. So both will happen actually parallelly. Right? Now that up and down is there, no? Children play, seesaw. One boy will sit there, one boy will sit here. This fellow will go up and the other fellow will come down like this. They play up and down. So both cannot be up. Both can be maybe equal plane, but that also is very rare. Either this has to go up, either that has to go up. Similarly, when our attachment to Krishna is going up, our attachment to Maya will come down. When our attachment to Maya is going up, attachment to Krishna will come down. Like this. Right? So ideal is attachment to Krishna should go up, attachment to Maya should come down. So that is actual process. So there are 8.4 lakh species. Bodily conception is very prominent. To increase attachment to Brahman or is to engage in devotional service. So how do I increase my attachment to Krishna? By practicing the process of devotional service. Focus on service, focus on sadhana, focus on shravanam, kirtanam, focus on your 5S. That is the way of increasing your attachment to Krishna. 22nd verse. Sa shraddha dhanasya सा श्रद्धया भगवद्धर्मचर्यया जिज्ञासयाध्यात्मिकयोगनिष्ठया योगेश्वरोपासनया च नित्यम् पुण्यश्रवः कथया पुण्यया च
Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves.
So, in the 21st verse, Sanat Kumar said that one's attachment and detachment should increase. Means attachment to Krishna and detachment for Maya should increase. So how will that happen? So he gives some pointers in the next three verses. In this verse he said, Shraddhaya, by having faith. Then Bhagavad Dharmacharyaya Jignasaya, being inquisitive about Bhagavad Dharmacharya. That is the process of bhakti. Third, Adhyatmika Yoga Nishtaya, by becoming fixed in practicing bhakti. Bhakti Yoga. Yogeshwara Upasanaya, by worshipping the Lord, then all these are listed in Subodhana, you can see. Then Nityam Punya Shravaha Kathaya Punyaya, by regularly hearing and chanting about the Lord's glories. So these are all the ways of becoming attached to Krishna and becoming detached from Maya. So Prabhupada writes in this purport that Yogeshwara, this word is applicable to both the Lord and the devotees. Right? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha. He quotes that verse. Then who is the other yogi? Yoginam Abhisarvesham Madgatena Antaratmana. Shraddhavan Bhajate Yomam. So that's also another yogi. Bhakta is also Yogeshwara. The Lord is also Yogeshwara. So Yogeshwara Upasana means serving the Supreme Lord and also serving pure devotees. So when you say Yogeshwara Upasana, it is both serving the devotee and serving the Lord also. So one should take shelter of pure devotee who has nothing to do with material world, but is simply engaged in devotional service. To serve the topmost devotee means to hear from him the glories of the Lord. Right? So to become fixed in devotional service, one has to be completely cleansed from material contamination of modes. So the conclusion is, to increase attachment for Krishna, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master, learn from him the method of devotional service, and hear from him about the transcendental messages of Krishna. Then one's conviction for devotional service will increase, attachment to Krishna will increase, and automatically one will be detached from Maya. So this is the way. So the association of devotees and the guidance of a superior devotee is a crucial part of one's advancement in Krishna consciousness, as this verse says. Arthendriya Ramasagoshya Trishnaya Tat Sammatanam Aparigrahenacha Virvikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani Vinaharer Gunapi Yushapanat Arthendriya Ramasagoshta Trishnaya Tat Sammatanam Aparigrahenacha Vivikta Ruchya Paritosha Atmani Vinaharer Gunapi Yushapanat. This is another beautiful verse. So many instructions are there in this. Arthendriyarama Sagoshta Atrishnaya. Arthendriyarama means people whose only focus is to do aram, right? To gratify their senses. Arthendriya Arama Sagoshta Trishnaya. You should not be eager to associate with such people who are so eager for sense gratification. That is first line. And tat sammatanam aparigraheena cha. There are other people who approve the first fellow's activities. Oh, he's so eager for sense gratification. Wow. So there are his fans. There are some celebrities absorbed in sense gratification. And they, he has a lot of fan following who approve his activities and then who aspire for his activities. Don't associate with him. Don't associate with them also. Right? Tat sammatanam. Whoever is approving such materialistic activities, you should be away from them also. One who is doing materialistic activity, one who is approving that. One should not associate with opposite sex. One should not associate with people who are so attached to the opposite sex. Woman and womanizer, both. That also is mentioned in other places. So, tat sammatanam aparigraheena cha. Okay. So, vivikta ruchya. One should become disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. Vivikta ruchya. And paritosha atmani, one should be very satisfied with oneself. Right? Next, vina harer guna piyusha panat. This is an important line. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live without hearing Krishna katha. Vina harer guna piyusha panat. If I don't hear Krishna katha one day, I feel very restless. I can't survive. I feel that something is lacking for the day. That is how one should feel. Vinahare. One should mold his life in such a way. Means develop taste for hearing. When one day someone fails to come in contact with the sound vibration of Bhagavatam or holy name, one should feel emptiness in the heart. Today I didn't hear. Today I didn't read. Today I didn't chant. So one should have that feeling. One should mold his life in such a way that he is constantly in touch with the sound vibration. That's what this beautiful line says. So Prabhupada writes this second canto verse in the purport. Nidraya hariyate anaktam. That which is the subject matter of satisfaction for devotees is of no interest to the non-devotees. Simple negation will not do. So simple negation. See, in the first two lines he said avoid the association of non-devotees. But simply avoiding the association from non-devotees is not sufficient. Yeah, you should avoid bad association. You should also have good association along with that. Coming from negativity to zero, neutral is not sufficient. You should go to the positive side. Okay. So, one must live in the association where constant hearing and chanting is going on. Prabhupada says that's why we are creating so many centers of ISKCON where people can come and associate with devotees and experience the increase of positivity. Once bhakti lata creeper will grow, so all that Prabhupada writes. Next is another gem like verse. Ahimsaya paramaham sacharyaya smritya mukunda charitagra sidhuna yamaira kamair niyamaischa pyanindaya nirihaya dvandvati tikshayacha ahimsaya paramaham sacharyaya smritya mukunda charitagra sidhuna yamair akamair niyamaischa pyanindaya nirihaya dvandvati tikshayacha. First he says ahimsaya, be non-violent. Next, paramahamsa charyaya. Paramahamsas, they follow certain activities. Charyaya, you follow their activities. Follow in the footsteps of great devotees. Second point. Third, smritya mukunda charitagra sidhuna. Constantly remember and taste the sweetness of the pastimes of Krishna. Smritya, remember. Mukunda charitagra sidhuna. Sidhuna means Krishna katha, Lord's charita. Mukunda's charita is very sweet, very nectarian. You should remember that. Then third line. Yamair akamair niyamaischa api. Means you should follow all the do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, yama and niyama, all that you follow. Whatever is prescribed for advancement in devotional service, try to accept that. Whatever is prohibited, try to avoid that. So, yamair akamair niyamaischa api. Then anindaya. Anindaya is a very important word. Never criticize other spiritual paths. So Prabhupada writes an elaborate comment on that. Don't criticize others' methods of religion. Because religious systems are categorized according to modes. So devotee is not interested in criticizing those followers of other religious systems who may, those systems may be in passion and ignorance. Right? So one should stick to one's own religious system, right? And not try to criticize other religious systems. Because a pure devotee may sometimes seem to be doing that, right? So Mayavadis are like this, this is like that, that is like that. But simply by criticizing, one will not go anywhere, right? Simply by criticizing, what will happen? A immature sadhaka's mind might get agitated. So devotee should be able to learn and tolerate to stop agitation. Because without that sufficient devotional maturity, if we just get into criticizing other spiritual paths without knowing what is the depth to which they are practicing, what exactly they are, at least they are coming to mode of goodness, there must be some benefit in that, right? So we should not be so much glorifying those activities that we deviate from our process only, but we should not be unduly criticizing them at the cost of losing our focus on our path. So one has a responsibility to establish the highest path and make the highest path relevant to the people in general. But when other religious paths are there, they are also doing their bit. One should not unnecessarily become envious of those paths. Right? So anindaya is that. Next is nirihaya. Nirihaya means simple and plain living, eco-friendly living. Nirihaya. Dvandva titikshaya cha is another important point. Devotee should tolerate dvandva, dualities. So dualities are at multiple levels. At one level, dualities are physical. You know what is that verse? Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukadukhada. Agama apayino anitya tamstitikshasva bharata. You have to tolerate these dualities. What are the two examples given there? Sita ushna means heat and cold. So they give trouble to our bodies. Is it not? Sukha dukhayor. They give trouble to our inner bodies, subtle bodies. Sita and ushna give trouble to gross body, but sukha and dukha will give trouble to subtle body. So we somehow accommodate this sita and ushna. Whenever sita is coming, sita means cold is coming, we equip ourselves with sweaters and mufflers and socks and other things, and we take care, and we are okay. We are comfortable tolerating that. We prepare ourselves to tolerate it. But when sukha and dukha comes, we also should be eager and ready and prepare ourselves to tolerate that sukha and dukha. One may prepare himself for summer and winter and monsoon, but one should also prepare oneself for all kinds of sukha and dukha that might come in one's life. That's more important. That's much more important. So one should strengthen one's inner self. One should not become overexcited if some happy event happens. One should not become too morose when some, unpalatable incident happens in one's life. So that needs a lot of inner stability. Right? Sitoshna sukadukyo. So one needs to tolerate dualities. So this section of Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 17th chapter, where Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati, that's a very important section about dualities. She cursed him. So far, till this moment, he was the king of Vidyadhara planet, traveling in airplane. Just in one moment, the life changed. He just laughed at Lord Shiva. Shiva, how can you sit with your wife on your lap, embracing her, in the midst of the assembly of so many sages? But he was not disrespectful or offensive towards Shiva. His intent was, you are exalted, you are not affected by this kind of behavior, but a common man might misunderstand you. This is my concern. So, with great concern, Chitraketu pointed out Shiva's activity. Then Mother Parvati became angry and she cursed him. How dare you say like that? Are you the appointed in charge to correct shameless criminals like us? Who are you to correct us? I curse you to become a demon. He had to become a demon. So, he did not change his expression. He just humbly descended from the airplane, offered obeisances to Parvati, called her, my dear mother. I never meant anything wrong. But whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong. And may I be forgiven for it. And he said, Gunapravaha etasmin. Gunapravaha means it's just this entire material existence is like a flow of, is a current of the river of modes. What is happiness? What is distress? What is Svarga? What is Naraka? What is heaven? What is hell? So in a salt mine, wherever you go, whatever you touch, you'll find only salt. Apparently, salt may be like a rocky, like a big crystal, sometimes powder. It could be in any form, but it's all salt only. Similarly, in this material world, whether it is happiness or distress, it is ultimately distress only. Because the very fact that we are in the material world means we are in distress. The very fact that we are in a salt mine means we taste only salt. You cannot taste sandesh in a salt mine. You can taste, have the taste of only salt there. So there are like a series of verses where he says that dualities are temporary. Temporary dualities have no eternal effect. So this verse also is saying, Dvandva titikshayacha. When Dvandva comes, do titiksha. So you should have the weapon of titiksha to face all Dvandvas. So the demon or the opponent or the enemy of dualities will come and attack you every moment of your life. If you don't have the weapon of titiksha, tolerance, you cannot handle that. So we will be defeated. So many dualities will come and overwhelm us and we will be like fallen warrior if you don't have the weapon, astra, of titiksha. Like that. So this is another beautiful lesson. Harer mohustat parakarna pura gunabhidane na vijrumbhamanaya bhaktyahya sangha sadasatyanatmani syan nirgune brahmani chanjasarati.
The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constant hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Harer muhustatpara karanapura gunabhidhanena vijrumbhamanaya. See how many times, how many hundreds of times the process of Shravanam is glorified in Bhagavatam. Just within this one chapter, you find, you know, so many verses. Harer muhus tatpara karna puraha. Tatpara means he's becoming so absorbed, so fixed up. In what? Hearing Krishna Katha. Constant hearing of Lord's qualities, gunabhidhanena, they are like ornaments of the ears. We don't wear kundal. What is that? Makara Kundal, Gokile Bhrajamanam, whatever Krishna wears. So we don't have that. We only wear tilak here. But our ornament, the ornament of all of our ears is to hear Krishna Katha. Right? That is the real ornament, not the golden or diamond earring that hangs here. That is the devotee's ornament. Constant hearing of Lord's qualities, which are like ornaments on the ears, with increasing bhakti. Bhaktiyahi. Right? Vijrumbhamanaya bhaktyahi asangaha sadasatyatmani. By hearing, one increases bhakti. By that, one develops detachment from matter and attachment to the Lord. Right? So, asanga sadasatyanatmani. Asanga will increase. Detachment from matter. Then, syan nirgune brahmani chanjasaratihi. Nirgune brahmani. Here is like that Lord who doesn't have material qualities. That's why nirgune brahmani. Anjasaratihi, very easily one can develop attachment to him if one hears. So hearing leads to attachment towards Krishna and detachment from matter. That's how he began in 21st verse. He said what? Conclusion of all scriptures is to increase attachment to Krishna
to decrease attachment to Maya. And he gave several tips on improving that and working on that principle. And in 25th verse, he is giving some kind of conclusion that, oh, by hearing is the key element there. So, Prabhupada writes in this purport, we can increase our propensity for hearing by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from realized souls. More hearing means more advancement. More advancement means more detachment from material world and more attachment to the Lord. Okay. So, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavan Bhajanonmukasya Paramparam Jigimisho Bhavasagarasya. So, that verse also Prabhupada quotes in the purport. Sandarshanam Vishayinam Athayoshitam Jahahanta Hanta Vishabhakshana Yopya Sadhu. Okay, 26th verse. Yadaratir Brahmani Naishtiki Puman. Acharyavan Jnana Viraga Ramhasa. Dahatya Viryam Hridayam Jivakosham. Panchatmakam Yo Animivottitogni.
Upon becoming fixed in his attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of the spiritual master and by awakening knowledge and detachment, the living entity situated within the heart of the body and covered by the fire elements burns up his material surroundings exactly as fire arising from wood burns the wood itself.
So what is the result of such attachment to the Lord? 25th verse spoke about one's rati towards Krishna will increase. Right? Syan Nirgune Brahmani Chanjasa Rati. That's how 25th verse ended. 26th verse, what is the result of such attachment? Such Rati develops by the grace of Guru, who awakens Jnana and Vairagya and destroys the subtle body, just as fire arising from wood burns the wood itself. So, individual soul is liberated when it comes out of material heart or cleanses the heart to make it spiritualized. Right? That is called liberation. So there are five kinds of material attachments. Prabhupada writes, ignorance, false ego, attachment to material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness. This is basically that five kinds of nisayas that Brahmaji created. In fifth kind, sasarjangarindhatam ishram athatam ishram adhikrit, mahamohamcha, mohamcha, tamaschagnana vrittayah. Right? So these are the five features of ignorance, nisayas. So these five are correlating to raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, etc. in Madhurya Kadambani. Same thing Prabhupada quoted here. When this verse says panchatmakam, that panchatmakam is these five kinds of material attachments only. So when these five are burned to ashes by the blazing fire of knowledge and detachment, one is firmly fixed in devotional service. So Brahmaji, in the beginning of creation, before creating the software for this creation, he created the virus for the creation. First he created five kinds of nisayas, then he created this Varnashrama, four Vedas, this and that, Upavedas, all the syllables, consonants and musical science and so many softwares he created. But before that he created virus. So first we have to install antivirus, remove the virus, then the system will function. That's what he says. So, one has to, virus is everywhere, but you have to protect your system. If you can protect your system properly, you can protect other systems also. How to protect your system properly? First, be detached from the virus, like a coconut. If the coconut is there, if the coconut is very old, ripe, mature, dry, then what will happen? The inside pulp of the coconut will get detached from the shell of the coconut. You see? Then you do like this. The sound will come. Is it not? So that is old coconut. If it is a very young coconut, you cannot so easily remove it out. If it is very tender coconut, now in South India you go, every temple they break coconut. Right? After that, the pujari will take the first half. The pilgrims will get the second half and all the children will break the coconut and then try to eat the pulp. The older the coconut is, the easier it is
to detach the pulp from the shell. The younger the coconut is, that much difficult it will become. Okay, they'll just try to take with their teeth, put their knife, put just some spoon. Spoon will bend, knife will break, hand will bleed. All this will happen. But I don't know here. In South India, breaking coconut is a constant theme. In every other street, there is some temple, they break coconuts. And they eat. So when you go, prasad means, in South India, in most houses, prasad means banana and coconut. That's what is the main offering to all the deities. Here, coconut and banana is like very rarely seen, breaking coconut and all. Marble kharab ho jayega. Udhar aisa nahi, coconut break karne ke liye, every temple has a separate rock. Right? Anyways, here the point is, when the coconut is dry, the inside pulp will get detached from the shell. Similarly, when a devotee is very mature, his inner self gets detached from the outer body. He gets detached from the conceptions, bodily conceptions. Subtle bodily conception and gross bodily conception. Gross bodily conception means identifying oneself with this body made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Subtle bodily conception means identifying oneself with our mental concoctions, intellectual convictions, and egoistic conceptions, right? So one has to spiritualize that subtle body. When one spiritualizes that subtle body, means one has proper mental conceptions, means one's thinking, feeling, and willing are actually towards Krishna. One has spiritualizes one's intelligence, means one's intelligence plans how to serve Krishna. One has the true ego, not false ego. One identifies oneself with as servant of Krishna. That is spiritualizing subtle body. When the subtle body is spiritualized, gross body will just act according to the dictation of subtle body. That is also as good as spiritual body. And it's just a matter of time before one gets actual spiritual body and then goes back to Godhead. So one needs to develop that detachment from this gross and subtle bodily conception. Just like the coconut pulp detaches itself from the coconut shell. Okay, that is what detachment. Dry coconut lives detached from coconut husk, though within the husk. Similarly, an advanced devotee, though within this body, he is connected with Krishna. He is like a jivan mukta. Ihaya se harer dasya karmana manasagira nikhilashvap yavasthasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Jivan mukta. He is in this body, you can see, he's daily taking bath, he's taking 3 meals every day, he's also sleeping every day, but he is jivan mukta. Apparently he's entrapped in this body, but because of his connection with Krishna, he is liberated already. Just like apparently this coconut looks like coconut only, but the pulp, inside pulp has been separated from the coconut, that is detached from the shell, like that. 27th verse. Dugdhashayo mukta samasta tadgunam naivatmano bahirantar vijashti paratmanor yad vyatha vyavadhanam purushat prastat svapne yatha purushastad vinashe.
When a person becomes devoid of all material desires and liberated from all material qualities, he transcends distinctions between actions executed externally and internally. At that time, the difference between the soul and the super soul, which was existing before self-realization, is annihilated. When a dream is over, there is no longer a distinction between the dream and the dreamer.
So the result of destruction of that subtle body. I just said subtle body, right? So, dugdhashayo mukta samasta tadguno. So, when the destruction of subtle body happens, then one's sense objects, one no longer sees the external sense objects and internal disturbances like lamentation. Externally, we see sense objects and get distracted by them. And internally, there are so many disturbances. And the obstacles in seeing the Lord, Paramatma, which existed previously, they will also go away. Right? All this happens when one's subtle body is spiritualized. So this is similar to the waking state in which one no longer sees the objects in dream. It's a dreamy state.
So when Vidura asked Maitreya, why there is a connection between the coconut pulp and coconut shell? Means he asked, what is the connection between the spirit soul and material body? How can they exist? Then what did he say? Maitreya said, it's only due to misidentification. What was the example he gave? When one sees one's head cut off in a dream, one cannot see one's head cut off ordinarily, but he can see if it is in a dream. So, when one's head is cut off, why will one lament? Misidentification. Because he is identifying himself with the body in a dream, he would lament. Oh, my head is cut off. Then he will get up from the sleep and say, my head is not cut off, it's here only. Right? He will come and realize that my head is not cut off. In the dream, he is lamenting. Similarly, as long as we are misidentifying ourselves with this material body, we are in a dreamy state. And whatever happiness and distress is coming in our life, we lament. But when we identify ourselves as servants of Krishna and detach ourselves from this material body, not physically, but internally, then happiness may come, distress may come, hundreds of dualities may come, but the devotee is not shaken up. Right? He is fixed in his position, like Chitraketu. He may be told, you become a demon, you become a king in Vidyadhara planet. Both of the times he is not excited or morose. He is just doing all these dualities are common. Gana pravahaye tasmin, kashyapa, kon vanugraha. What is a shapa, what is a curse, what is a blessing? Sab ekiye. As long as I am in salt mine, like that. Now 28th verse. Yeah, Prabhupada quotes Anyabhilashita Sunyam in this purport. When a devotee is completely freed from all material desires and material qualities, he transcends the duality of action for body and soul. Ihayasya Harerdasya Karmana Manasagira. So this verse and coconut example, Prabhupada quotes a couple of times. See, Ihayasya Harerdasya is coming in 26th purport and 27th purport also. 28th verse. Atmanam Indriyartham cha Param yad ubhayorapi Satyashaya upadhavai Puman pasyati nanyatha.
When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires and for that reason he becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord.
So when one is subjected to various designations, and he may see himself as an enjoyer. Atmanam indriyartham cha. Why am I existing? To gratify my senses. So that is the conception. As long as one is overwhelmed by the demands of the subtle body. Right? When you say absence of subtle body or destruction of subtle body, we are saying we are spiritualizing the subtle body. Just now I said, spiritualizing mind, intelligence and ego. So one is subjected to various designations and sees oneself as the enjoyer due to desires, thinks of this world as objects of sense enjoyment and the results of happiness and distress. But when that subtle bodily conception is gone, one sees Paramatma, one tries to fulfill Lord's desires. Right? See, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. That is a true constitutional position. Anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upayunjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya muchyate. So whatever he does is basically for the satisfaction of Krishna. Prabhupada is quoting so many NOD verses. So Paramahamsa means no question of renouncing anything because he is engaging everything in Krishna's service. Mahabhagavat has no material vision because he sees that everything is spiritual. No material vision. Even if he sees some material objects, he has a spiritual vision. Oh, it came from Lord Vishnu's body. That's what he... Seeing a material object, he remembers Krishna. How can this be called material? Whether it is material or spirit, depends on how you use it, how you see it. If you see that this is an object helping me to serve Krishna, it is not material, it is spiritual. Like that. Next, 29th verse. Nimitte sati sarvatra
jaladav api purushah atmanascha parasyapi bhidam pashyati nanyata.
Only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others, just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested on water, on oil, or in a mirror.
So one sees differences in bodies of oneself and others. Just like one sees a difference in one's body, and the body is reflected in water and in oil and in mirror. So they appear little different, right? You put some holy water is flowing, and someone may see, I'm appearing bluish, I'm appearing blackish, I'm appearing reddish. So there are differences in reflection. Similarly, one sees differences in one's own body and other's body. That is because of this bodily conception, presence of subtle body. I mean, the other day, if you remember, I was sharing in which context? Anyways, the principle I was sharing was, there is no difference between body, two bodies. This body is made of earth, water, fire, ether. Others' bodies are also made of earth, water, fire, ether. Narada Muni is speaking to Dhruva Maharaj. Correct. Prithu Maharaj, Sargivindra, correct. Vishnu to Prithu, in that context. There is no, on a spiritual platform, everybody is part and parcel of Krishna, there is no difference. On a material platform, everybody's body is made of these material elements, there is no difference. So, understanding this non-difference between two people, physically and spiritually, one is to see the equality amongst everyone. When one is not seeing everybody on an equal level in that sense, then he is influenced by this material bodily conception. Right? So that is the essence of 29th verse. So Prabhupada says that spirit soul is one, manifested in swamsa and vibhinnamsa expansions. And although one sees, one has to see non-difference between oneself and others, one should not lose discrimination. We have seen the gradation of living entities. Although a dog's body is different from non-different from a human body in terms of material elements, right? Soul is also same. And the ingredients of the body both are same. But for a human being, you give little different respect, different treatment. Right? For an animal, there's a different treatment. Right? Both have to be respected in a different way, in different ways. Like that. So different expansions of same one principle. So one should simultaneously see the difference aspect and also non-difference aspect also. That is Bheda and Abheda simultaneously. Okay, 30th verse. So we need to understand this Bheda Vakyas and Abheda Vakyas in our scriptures in proper light. Sometimes Bheda Vakyas are emphasized. Panditaha Samadarshinaha. That doesn't mean it's Mayavad. Right? Samadarshinaha means he sees everything. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Sunichaiva Svapakecha Panditaha Samadarshinaha. You know this verse, right? All of you know? So when Pandita doesn't see any differences amongst all these categories of living beings, that's not speaking about Mayavad. He's seeing the presence of super soul in them. Right? That's an advanced vision. So that doesn't mean you see only the Bheda and Abheda there. There is Bheda also. There is Abheda also. Both have to be seen in proper context and reconcile both with our Achintya Bheda Vedatva. They're simultaneously one and different also. Indriya Irvishaya Kshat Krishtair Akshiptam Dhyayatam Manaha Chetanam Harate Buddhe Stambastoyam Ivahridat.
When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects for enjoyment, the mind becomes agitated. As a result of continually thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness almost becomes lost, like the water in a lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank.
This is a very important analogy given here, very instructive analogy. Now a reservoir of water is there, a lake is there, but on the bank of that lake, so many grasses are growing, unnecessary grasses. Eventually all these grasses will suck away the water and the lake will become dry. Right? Similarly, when one's mind and senses are attached to sense objects for material enjoyment, when the mind is constantly agitated by so many other distractions, so result is one's real consciousness, one's real focus on one's sadhana and seva will be lost. One may think, I am around in the association of devotees for a long time. I have been doing this, I have been doing that, so many things I am doing, services. But why nothing is happening? Why am I feeling empty and shallow inside? Why am I feeling no satisfaction at heart or whatever? So result is, mind is still thinking of so many other things, distracted. Just like the grasses growing on the lake will suck away the water in the lake, similarly, the distractions of the mind will steal away the consciousness, real consciousness of the sadhaka. Right? It is a very grave principle. I am just repeating all this, so you should pray that I should not become a victim of all this also. When I am speaking all this, I may speak with certain emphasis because that's my duty as I am speaking. I may not be at that level. I am not at that level, sorry. So if you think so, that is your problem. But we should pray for each other, for our sustenance. Because distractions can come at any time to anyone in any form, right? At any stage. Bharat Maharaj went to Bhava stage. Then a deer, it's like so, you can't expect only. Someone at Bhava stage, he will be distracted, that's a shock. And how he will be distracted? One deer, one animal distracted him. So that's a very grave and instructive lesson from the fifth canto. So one can never be overconfident that I will not be distracted. Distractions are constantly there. At any point, at any stage, to anyone, at any time, in any form, like that. So one has to be constantly on guard and help each other. That's why Sangha is needed. Bharat Maharaj did not have Sangha to remind him. I think you are giving so much time to deer. Relax. Right? You focus on your sadhana. No one was there to tell him. So he was distracted. So one element, one important observation we can make in his episode is, he did not depend on Sangha. Right? However, there is another transcendental arrangement, Lord's arrangement. He intensified Bharat Maharaj's eagerness for devotional service by giving him a very heavy punishment for one life to become an animal. And later, actually Bharat Maharaj as a deer is more advanced than Bharat. Bharat Maharaj as Jada Bharat is more advanced than the deer Bharat. So actually, Bharat Maharaj also became an animal. But that's a spiritual advancement for him. His consciousness was kept intact. His remembrance of his previous devotional service was intact. So in Bharat Maharaj's case, what Lord did was to give a lesson to all of us. And also, he has a personal reciprocation happening between himself and Bharat Maharaj also. But we'll focus on our lesson part, what is relevant for us. Distraction can come in any form. Because Bharat Maharaj was not lusty, not greedy, not proud. He did not have any anarthas. But what he had? Good qualities, compassion. So Maya can utilize any of the attributes that we have. So one may, Maya attacked Bharat Maharaj by catching his quality of compassion. Right? So because Bharat Maharaj thought that this deer is a victim, and Bharat Maharaj became so compassionate on that victimized deer, and later he became a victim of his own compassion. Right? So misplaced compassion. So distractions can come at any time to anyone. 30th verse, we have done it. 30th verse purport. Yeah, Mahaprabhu said, take care of unwanted grass in the paddy field from very beginning. Else, fertilizing agent or water will be used by them and paddy plants will dry up. Along with the paddy in the field, there are so many other weeds are growing. And when you are just putting some fertilizing agents and then sending water, they will take away all that. So we need to constantly check whether I am feeding my anarthas or am I feeding my spirit soul. So Krishna Katha is there. One may read Bhagavatam, one may study Bhagavatam, one may speak Bhagavatam, one may hear Bhagavatam. So through that also, one may sincerely do it, regularly do it. Still, there is a possibility that he may not be accessing the message of Bhagavatam. He may be memorizing the verses of Bhagavatam, but he may not be accessing the message and lesson. That he may not be taking the right message intended from the pages of Bhagavatam. He may get distracted by, he's presenting well, I'm not presenting well, I should become a better speaker than him, or I should get more marks in my exam than the other person. Right? Kya presentation diya bro? Mera presentation itna poor hai. So all this, one may get caught up in the external considerations while being with Bhagavatam. Getting right? So whether while I'm spending time with Bhagavatam, am I feeding my negative academic interests, or am I feeding my inner self to nourish myself, to inspire myself in practicing devotional service? So one needs to see. So they're all very much side by side. There's a very thin line between both of them, and one may get distracted at any point through any medium. Through the medium of sound vibration also one may get distracted. Right? The most important literature that is supposed to nourish ourselves in our devotional service could also become a cause of our distraction, could also become, could also make the practitioner puffed up, proud and envious of others also, if it is not approached in a right consciousness. Right? So whom am I feeding? That one needs to constantly check whether I am feeding grasses or paddy. 31st verse.
Brahashyatyanusmritischittam Jnanabramshah smritikshaye Tadrodham kavayah prahur Atmapahvanam atmanaham. When one deviates from his original consciousness, he loses the capacity to remember his previous position or recognize his present one. When remembrance is lost, all knowledge acquired is based on a false foundation. When this occurs, learned scholars consider that the soul is lost.
So these three verses are given in that flowchart format. So it's like Dhyayato Vishyan Pumsamani, something similar. You can see your Subodhani. Thinking of sense gratification makes one's mind agitated. Then one's discriminating power of intelligence is lost. Then memory is lost. Then knowledge is destroyed. Jnana Brahmsaha will happen. So there is the essence of three verses. So in the current verse, 31st verse, we'll read 32 also and then discuss 31st purport.
Natah parataro loke pumsasvartha vyatikramah yadarthyanyasya preyastvam Atmanahasva vyatikramat. There is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization.
So the greatest distraction is to think of something else as more important than my spiritual advancement, self-realization. So this is the series. In the 31st purport, Prabhupada says that gross ignorance of animals, because of that it appears that they are lost souls. Soul is said to be lost when there is no proper knowledge. Animals cannot exhibit proper discriminative power or knowledge or deliberation, so their souls are described to be lost. When activities of proper consciousness are checked, all activities of lost soul are performed on false basis. Then people become no better than animals. So soul is lost. When you say soul is lost, soul's discriminatory power is lost. Right? Soul's knowledge is lost. Soul's ability to love Krishna is lost. So we are fortunate enough to come from our lost condition to revival condition. So we have the opportunity to revive our lost souls. So now we will go to 32nd purport. You can read how that is the importance of human life. Okay, 33rd. Arthendriyathabhi dhyanam swarthapahvanonrunam brahmishto jnana vijnanad yena vishati mukhyatam.
For human society, constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply it for sense gratification brings about the destruction of everyone's interest. When one becomes devoid of knowledge and devotional service, he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones.
Constant thinking of money and its use for sense gratification. So that is the destruction of all goals. One will lose one's knowledge and one will lose one's realizations also. So when knowledge, when you get proper situations where you can apply that knowledge deepens into oneself and converts into realization. Right? And that realization is also lost if one is constantly thinking of so many money and other things, money and sense gratification, etc. And that will eventually give him entrance into immovable forms, which are like plants. Right. So that is the 33rd verse. So Prabhupada writes, what is jnana? To understand one's constitutional position. What is vijnana? Practical application of that jnana. Okay. So now 34th purport. 34th verse. Nakuryat karhichit sangam tamastivram titirishu dharmartha kama mokshanam yadatyanta vighatakam.
Those who strongly desire to cross the ocean of nescience must not associate with the modes of ignorance, for hedonistic activities are the greatest obstructions to realization of religious principles, economic development, regulated self gratification, and at last liberation.
Na kuryat karhichit sangam. Never associate. That's what the first line means. Tamas tivram titirishu. There are those who desire to cross this ocean of nescience. Such people should never associate with or should never have attachment for dharmartha kama mokshanam, for temporary things. That completely obstruct atyanta vighatakam, that completely obstruct dharmartha kama and moksha. Right? So we have four purushattvas are mentioned. If you have more devotional perspective, then whatever obstructs your panchama purushartha, developing love for Krishna, whatever is obstructing that, you should always try to avoid it. So actually these four kumaras, they were not completely speaking pure devotional service. This is bhakti definitely. This is jnana mishra bhakti. At one point, Chakvardipada writes in a purport that Prithu Maharaj, after hearing the whole conversation, he would feel that, why didn't you speak pure bhakti? Why you spoke about jnana mishra bhakti? So like that, there was some feeling that appeared in Prithu Maharaj. So, but Prabhupada gives very devotional interpretations and pure devotional service he emphasizes. But they are speaking some jnana mishra bhakti. After some time they will speak bhakti mishra jnana. So this section still has 5-6 verses. It's 1 o'clock. Would you mind if I take 15-20 minutes more and complete this section till 40th verse? Somebody has a question. Yeah. No, when you say realization, vijnana, practical application of jnana, you were able to apply your knowledge properly at one point,
But after some time, you may lose that ability to apply it practically. If one's mind is distracted with so many other material desires. That's what it is said. When you say losing vijnana, losing one's ability to practically apply. So maybe 3 months back I applied it. Today I failed to apply. There are two possibilities. Because of distractions of mind, one lost that ability to apply it. Second, earlier although he applied, he has not completely assimilated that knowledge. Probably that situation earlier was a easier situation to handle, you could apply easily. Now it's a more provocative situation, you failed to apply. So, anyways, 36th verse, 35th verse.
Tatrapi moksha evartham atyantikata yeshate traivargyortho yato nityam Kritanta Bhaya Samyutaha.
Out of the four principles, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation has to be taken very seriously. The other three are subject to destruction by the stringent law of nature, death.
So out of these four purusharthas mentioned in 34, so moksha is most important amongst all four. Okay. So in the 34th purport, which we have not discussed, Prabhupada gives an example. Government sometimes gives license for liquor shops. So, but license is not meant for unrestricted consumption. License actually means restriction, that you take in a moderate quantity. So, Vedic process of sense gratification is mentioned ultimately to bring out the Vedic follower out of that addiction, right, regulated. In the 11th canto, 5th chapter, you will know more about it from the teachings of Navayogendras to Nimi. So why there are so many regulations in the scriptures which are apparently prescribing, say, animal killing or liquor consumption, etc., etc. But they are all meant to restrict. If such concessions are not allowed, people may unrestrictedly consume them. But if the concessions are allowed in the Shastras, people may consume them in a restricted way by respecting the words of Vedas. And by respecting the words of Vedas, they will make spiritual advancement. And they are following these sections of Vedas, respecting them and following some restrictions. After some time, they may develop an inclination to see other parts of the Vedas, right, which describe the ill effects of following all this. Then they eventually give them up. So with that hope, Vedas are prescribing some things for people who cannot follow the ideal standard. So that is mentioned here. Now in the 35th purport, Prabhupada says that religious principles are not based on success or economic development. Yeah, 35th verse is basically emphasizing moksha more than the other three purusharthas. So, ultimate thing is moksha. Even in first canto, second chapter also, Suta Goswami mentions. What is that? Dharma svanishtita pumsa vishvakshena kathasveha na utpade didiritam shamayavahi kevalam. Now, all thing kamasya nendriya pritihi. Everything is supposed to be performed for ultimate liberation. Right? Occupational duties are to be performed for ultimate liberation, not for sense gratification. Here is right. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Nartho arthayopakalpate. Right? Dharma you have to perform for apavarga, moksha, not for any other purpose. Same thing is mentioned here also. 36th verse.
परे वरे च ये भावां गुणव्यतिकरादनु नतेषां विद्यते क्षेमं ईश विध्वंसिताशिषां.
We accept as blessings different states of higher life, distinguishing them from lower states of life. But we should know that such distinctions exist only in relation to the interchange of the modes of material nature. Actually, these states of life have no permanent existence, for all of them will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller.
So this is another important verse that is like continuation of 35th verse. In the 35th verse, it is said that moksha is the most important of all the four purusharthas. In the 36th verse, why other three are not as important as moksha is mentioned? Because the results of the other three goals are ultimately destroyed by the Lord's will. Lord will destroy all these temporary goals. There is nothing auspicious, kshemam, for those whose goals will be destroyed by the Lord as time. See the last line. Isha vidhamsita ashishan. Isha, the Supreme Lord himself in the form of time will destroy all these goals. One may be so advanced in artha, then what else? Dharma, artha, kama. Right? But still, whatever he obtains by these three, that will be destroyed. By performing dharma, one may want to go to heavenly planets or attain a lot of wealth. And by getting a lot of wealth, one may want to attain so much of sense gratification. But whatever results they get, they are destroyed only. But moksha is not destroyed. So that's why one should focus more on moksha than other three. So Prabhupada writes a very long purport, in 2-3 pages purport here. So the essence of the purport is, when dharma, artha and kama are adjusted from birth, death, okay, by adjusting this dharma, practice of dharma, artha, kama, one can adjust his birth, death, old age and disease. Basically, the transmigration of the living soul from one body to another body depends on what activities he performs in this life and with what intent he performs. So you can adjust your transmigration according to your activity here. So men are too much attached to childish activities of artha and kama, are sometimes especially favored by the Lord when he destroys the construction of their things. Okay, esyaham anugrihnami. Somebody may become so wealthy, but what does the Lord do? So Lord will just take away all his wealth, and all his relatives will leave him, and he is forcefully taking shelter of Krishna. So Lord has his own plans to destroy all the goals of dharma, artha, kama. Okay.
Animals, law of karma does not apply for animals, right? Then
yes, they progress.
So
from one life form to another life form.
Here it is said like the activities, I mean the next life depends on the activities of this life.
Human, these are all for human beings. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these activities are applicable for human beings.
So animals, what is the criteria for animals for the next life?
They just progress from one species to another species, lower species. There is a gradation of species, right? They will progress.
Okay. But that particular starting the species, that life comes through human life.
From human life, he may be put into some lower species based on his activities. Okay. Once he goes into the lower species, he will transmigrate. Right? And when he is in some animal species, some devotee may give him some prasadam, some because of some agnata sukriti, he may just jump over some life forms and get a human form or higher form, like that. So like that he will advance. But once he comes to human stage, lot of responsibilities on him. Right? To perform dharma, artha, kama properly. Okay, now 39 and 40 are very important verses. I'll focus more on them in the next few minutes. 37, 38 are like little straightforward. 37.
Tattvam narendra jagatam atatushtatam cha atatasthusham cha dehendriyashu dhishanatmabhir avrutanam yakshetravittaptaya hridi vishvagavi pratyakchakasti bhagavam stamavehi sosmi.
Sanat Kumar advised the king, "Therefore, my dear King Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart along with the individual soul in each and every body, either moving or not moving. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of the life, air and intelligence."
So these two verses, according to Chakvartipad, are like Bhakti Mishra Jnana. Jnana is predominant and Bhakti is less. They just speak these two verses also. That you understand the soul who is living in everybody's heart, and one should also meditate that the non-difference between the soul and the super soul. So Prabhupada writes that Kshetra is body. Kshetravit means one who is the knower of the body or the possessor of the body, which is both soul and super soul. Both of them are there. So soul is the directed person. Super soul is directing the soul. So all this, you know. So there is no loss in taking to Krishna consciousness and falling down. Tyaktva so dharmam charanam bhujam harir. Prabhupada quotes that verse. 38.
Yasmin idam sadasad atmaya vibhati. Taya vibhati maya viveka vidhinoti srijai vahi buddhi. Tam nitya mukta parishuddha vishuddha tattvam. Pratyodha karma kalila prakritim prapadye.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests Himself as one with the cause and effect within this body. But one who has transcended the illusory energy by deliberate consideration, which clears the misconception of a snake for a rope, can understand the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to the material creation and situated in pure internal energy. Thus the Lord is transcendental to all material contamination, and to Him only must one surrender.
So 37th verse said that we should understand the super soul and the qualitative non-difference between the soul and super soul. And 38th verse says you should surrender to that super soul. And what are the qualities of that super soul? Right? He is ever liberated. Tvam nitya mukta, parishuddha, completely pure. Vishuddha tattva, he is the highest truth. These words come somewhere else also. Tvam nitya mukta parishuddha vibuddha atma. Kotastha, Dhruva Maharaj's phrase, perfect. 4.9.15. Good. You are responding so well, many classes. So that is about surrendering to the Lord. So this is, Prabhupada speaks about Vivartavada in the purport, opposed to Mayavada, Vivartavada and Parinamavada. Vyasadeva proposed Parinamavada. Shankaracharya proposed Vivartavada. What is that? We'll discuss later. I think it's too late to discuss on that. I'll finish these two verses and end.
Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathitamud grathayanti santaha tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddha Sroto Ganastamaranam Bhajavasudevam. Yatpada Pankaja Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya Karmashayam Grathitamud Grathayanti Santaha Tadvanna Riktamatayo Yatayo Piruddha Sroto Ganastamaranam Bhajavasudevam.
So far, this Sanat Kumar was speaking about Jnana Mishra Bhakti and Bhakti Mishra Jnana. Means Bhakti mixed with Jnana, when Jnana is the predominant element and Bhakti is the secondary element, that is Bhakti Mishra Jnana. And Jnana Mishra Bhakti also he spoke. With bhakti as the predominating element and jnana as the secondary element. But in either case, whatever he spoke till now is not pure bhakti. It is mixed bhakti. Bhakti mixed with jnana. Either as a secondary element or as a primary element. And Prithu Maharaj is not very happy, not very excited. Yeah, he spoke few points about bhakti. He spoke about hearing also. They are all fine, but I'm not hearing that pure description of bhakti. That's why I wanted to conclude the class with these two verses. So these two verses speak about pure bhakti. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. Pure bhakti. If one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, pankaja palasa means the petals of the lotus. Right? Lord's feet are like lotus petals. If one surrenders unto them, what will happen? Karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha. Santaha means devotees. Devotees who have surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord can quickly uproot the aspirations for fruitive material enjoyment. Karmashayam. Karmashayam means aspiring for fruitive enjoyment. They can completely uproot that. Right? Udgarthayanti. Karmashayam grathitam. Grathitam means not. So whenever you have a ashaya, aspiration to enjoy on a material plane, that creates a knot. And that material desire will give rise to some other material desires. The knot is tightened, tightened, tightened. But by performing bhakti, by surrendering unto the lotus feet, that knot is not slackened. It is cut. When so many knots are there, you can't just remove like that. Ek nikal. Or ek nikal. Nahi. You have to cut it. Done. That is the only way. So, udgrathayanti means it's completely uprooted. Karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha. But tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddha. Riktamatayo means one who is devoid of devotional service. Riktamatayo. Yatayo piruddha. Although they endeavor a lot to cut this knot of fruitive mentality, fruitive action, they cannot do so. Forget about cutting the knot of this material enjoyment. They can't even control their senses also. That is last line. Sroto gana astamaranam. Sroto gana means all the senses are flowing towards the sense objects. They cannot even control. Aray, my tongue don't go towards that palatable dish. Eyes don't go to the form of that beautiful opposite sex running there. So they cannot even control that to that level also. What to speak of karmashayam, cutting the karmashayam. Only bhakti can cut the knot of fruitive enjoyment. So, bhaja Vasudevam. Just worship the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva. This is the conclusion of their teachings. Right? So, Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. One of my favorite purports in the entire fourth canto. So, there are three kinds of transcendentalists trying to overcome the influence of modes. They are karmis, yogis and bhaktas. So, bhaktas are overwhelmed by transcendental bliss. Automatically, their desires for enjoyment will stop. Karmashayam means so many material desires. So, jnanis and yogis are there. They are not attached to the lotus feet. They just struggle against the waves of sense gratification. So, Vasudeva Bhagavati also Prabhupada quotes. So, here Prabhupada compares the sense gratificatory desires to the waves of a river. On the river, there are so many ripples, small, small waves, right? Will they ever stop? They will never stop. Similarly, our desires also will never stop. Our sense gratificatory desires, material desires, are like ripples on a river. They will never stop. But when the river flows towards the ocean and meets the ocean, the oceanic tides will overwhelm the insignificant ripples of the river. There, who will take lead? Oceanic tides will take lead. They will overwhelm these insignificant ripples. So, the ripples of the river are not seen only when the river meets the ocean. Is it not? Similarly, when the devotee, although he has hundreds of material desires, when he changes his course and aligns his life according to the will of a pure devotee, and follows the instructions of a pure devotee and assists the pure devotee in his plans to serve Krishna, his insignificant desires of material enjoyment will be vanquished. Getting right? Simple analogy. Oceanic tides, when they are there, river ripples will not be seen. Similarly, when we are assisting Guru and Krishna in service, then our sense gratification desires will go away. Sense gratification desires will go away. So Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport. So for that, Krishna element has to be there. So when one surrenders to the devotee of Krishna and assists him in Krishna's service, then only sense gratification will go. Sroto ganastamaranam. That will not happen without Vasudeva, without Bhaja Vasudevam. So one has to assist plans of devotee.
Krutsro mahanniha bhavarnavam aplavesham. Shadvarganakramasukhena titirishanti. Tattvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyamangrim. Krutvadupam visanamuttara dustararnam. Krutsro mahan iha bhavarnavam aplavesham. Shadvarganakramasukhena titirishanti. Tattvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyamangrim. Krutvadupam vyasanamuttara dustararanam.
Now they conclude, Krutsro means very difficult, extremely troublesome. Mahan iha bhavarnavam aplavesham. Aplavesham means non-devotees. For non-devotees, it's extremely difficult. What is difficult? To cross over this material ocean. Because krutsro mahan iha bhavarnavam. Bhava arnavam means this material existence. Bhava is like arnavam, an ocean. Right? To cross this material ocean is extremely difficult. Why? Because Shadvarga nakram asukhena titirishanti. Shadvarga nakram means there are sharks of six anarthas, six senses. So these are all powerful sharks which are there in this material ocean. Because this material ocean is infested with so many sharks, how long you will swim in this ocean? And then how can you cross this material ocean? Titi na titirishanti. It's very difficult to cross over this material ocean for non-devotees. But tattvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyam angrim. But if you surrender into the lotus feet of the Lord and worship the lotus feet of the Lord, then it is extremely easy. Why? Because Lord's lotus feet will act like a boat. You cannot swim in an ocean and cross the material ocean. Swimming in a material ocean and crossing it is extremely difficult, especially when so many sharks are attacking. But if we have a strong boat, then it is easy. Is it not? And the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord is not only strong enough to take you across the ocean, it is also powerful enough to condense the ocean. When the boat of lotus feet of the Lord is placed in the material existence ocean, then the ocean will shrink. It will become small, small, small. Then you don't need the boat also. You can just jump over the ocean. Because Lord's lotus feet have the ability to condense, minimize the size of the ocean to a calf's hoof print. Right? Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomurare bhavambudhir vatsapadam parampadam padam padam yadvipadam natesham. Bhavambudhi will become vatsapadam. Vatsa, you know, calf. Calf's hoof print. How big is that? That big. How much water it can accommodate? So bhavambudhi will become that big. You can just simply cross over, right? By taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So tattvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyam angrim krutvodupam vyasanamuttara dustararanam. Very easily, without any difficulty, one can cross over this material ocean. So these two verses are describing the pure bhakti, right? So Prabhupada writes that this material ocean, there is Vaitarini ocean, causal ocean. It's infinitely big. So many infinite universes are floating like balls in this causal ocean. So other side of this ocean is the spiritual world, where Vaikunthas are there. So this human form is a very wonderful opportunity to easily cross over this material ocean. Animals, very difficult to cross over this material ocean. Human beings, they have an opportunity, provided they utilize this form nicely. So, for non-devotees who just follow the paths of karma, jnana, yoga and other so many other paths, it's very difficult. Because boat is not there. How long you will swim? Right? And while swimming in this material ocean, the only happiness that a swimmer would experience is a small trace of the shore of the land. Or a small object that may apparently seem like a boat. For example, somebody swimming in the ocean, not seeing any shore, only unlimited water. And somewhere he will see something, some object floating that will give some hope. He will go swim. He realizes that it is a dead body. Right? But still it is floating, he will take shelter of it. After some time that shelter is also gone. Then again he will try to swim. And he will realize someone else is also swimming there. Right? He will try to reach that person after swimming for 10-20 kilometers. And after meeting them, oh, you are also swimming? I am also swimming. How long you are swimming? I am swimming for 30 years. I am swimming for 40 years. Right? They will exchange. Let's swim together. And they start fighting with each other after some time. Then they will go. So like that, in this material world, the only happiness that one derives is mitigation of a small amount of distress that he is facing. One verse is also there in teachings of Lord Kapila. He thinks that I have attained success, mission accomplished. I have attained happiness when he was successful enough to mitigate a small amount of distress that he is facing. Although this much distress is still pending. So in the midst of an ocean, while he is swimming in an ocean, he will feel hopeful just to see a dead body floating or some wooden log floating or drowned boat, right? Is just hanging there. So that will give some hope. But ultimately, he is within the ocean. He is in the ocean of miseries. As long as he is in the ocean, for that much time, he has no happiness. He may perceive some happiness, temporary happiness within the ocean, just because of the perception of some small, hope-giving objects. Like that. But when one takes shelter of a boat, he can be in the midst of the ocean, he doesn't mind. Inside the boat, he can have a party with so many other passengers there. He can dance, he can sing, he can eat, he can cook. Because boat of lotus feet is there, na? For a devotee, he is in the boat. He may be in the ocean, but he is in the boat. Boat of lotus feet of the Lord. He can have a party there. Right? So, those who are in the ocean, they cannot have party. No party only. Right? No retreats for them. Okay. Thank you all very much. And the six sharks are all the six senses, then woman and opposite sex, then so many anarthas that one might face. Okay. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.